about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
What's the best moment of your life?
My wedding day. Tied with the day my babies were born.
Compared to this, those memories will be garbage.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
It's Friday, Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend.
I'm Esther, and I want to be a hot chick because they're pretty and they get stuff. Today, I'm with hot chick Kaylin Russo talking about beauty. Kaylin is Justin Bieber's favorite, and she's in two of his music videos. They kiss. Kaylin is going to teach us how to be hot like her. Kaylin, how can I be hot like you?
Well, everyone is hot, you know. Everyone is beautiful in their own way, and it's really just the inner beauty that...
How does it feel knowing that you're so pretty that no one cares what you say?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Ticketmaster!
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
God damn it!
Roll another one.
You gotta keep positive, man.
Just like the other one.
Who saw that coming?
This one seems to be about to quit.
I know you're nuts, sir.
And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
And now, a brief pause for station identification.
Roll.
Extra ranch!
Just like the other one.
This isn't funny.
This one seems to be about to end.
Your soul is going to heaven.
And I don't have another cent.
Hey, knock, knock.
Who's there?
Go Dodger!
But the one guard that joined.
I'm so confused right now.
Just pass it around.
I'll be the judge. Front door.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
Dad, are you going to get high?
Is the Pope Catholic?
I don't know. They got a new Pope, didn't they?
Is he Catholic?
Wow, I'm going to get high with my dad. This is awesome.
Our feature presentation.
So I opened my locker this morning.
Yes.
It up, and apparently I'd left a cookie in there.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Just a simple cookie. Mm-hmm. 5 quadrillion ants. Is that a number?
Yeah, that's a number.
5 quadrillion
ants.
It
seems like an unlikely amount to be in your locker overnight, but...
I counted them.
Okay, well,
let me tell
five
you,
quadrillion.
The discussion Chip and I had in the kitchen before you came in,
uh-huh.
I walked in with my water bottle and said, there were ants on my water bottle and in my water bottle. And then they crawled right up my arm. There's something, there's food in that that locker. And Chip looked at me and said, I wonder who would have left food there.
Oh.
I said, what do you think that might have been?
Those ants have been all over the place, though. This place is being overrun by ants. Now,
yes.
I may be the latest a-hole, but I'm not the only a-hole.
So the ants are all over the property, but you kind of laser-focused them into where the chocolate chip was.
Apparently. Apparently they love chocolate chip cookies.
What? Chocolate chip cookies.
And the word went out. I don't know how ants do it. They got their little ant CBs
from?
Or whatever they do. But
there's
they
an
let,
ant radio station.
Yeah, they let each other know.
Yeah.
And it's a rush. It's like a gold rush, but it's for chocolate chip cookies.
Is it true, Lisa, that the weight of the ants on Earth is more than the weight of the humans on Earth?
Oh, I don't know.
Have
I've
you
never
ever heard,
heard
that?
That?
I've heard that.
I would not be surprised.
After what I saw today, I would not be surprised.
It's a lot of ants, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Well, welcome into another all-new Kevin and Bean Show, this time for a Friday, the 4th of April. I'm sure we'll be talking about it a lot today. I'm eager to hear what Ralph has to say about the somewhat surprising announcement yesterday that David Letterman is going to be retiring, that he's going to be walking away from his show after, I think, 22 years, I think, on CBS, another 11 maybe before that on NBC, and he's going to be retiring in 2015. And, you know, let the speculation begin on who's going to replace him. But there was something else on his show last night that was very funny. I thought, since it's Friday and we all love Bill Murray, maybe instead of me telling you about somebody, you know, getting killed in a trash compactor, maybe I'd let Bill Murray entertain you for a minute today. He walked out during the monologue last night and told Dave that he was working on his bucket list, that he had some stuff that he was trying to get going and he needed Dave's help on something. I think you'll enjoy it.
I'm doing great on it. I've been knocking them down. But there's one thing here, which is I would like to do your show.
This show?
Yeah.
What a great idea. Go ahead. Whatever. No. We love it when you're on the show.
I mean, no. I don't want to be on the show. I want to be the guy, you know. I don't want to do the show like you come in here every day and do the show. That is, I'm not going to do that. But I would like to just take over for one joke.
Oh, just a joke?
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Tony, do we have extras? Anything?
I got
you have
stuff.
One?
I got material. Okay. Hey, look out.
Bill brings his own material. By the way, I love Bill Murray so much. He's always great on Letterman, you know, and he's one of Letterman's main guys. You know, I think he was the first guest on the CBS show. He's always the guest that they have on, like, the 20th anniversary, the 30th anniversary, things like that.
He's a weirdo and doesn't seem to have a lot of friends, but Letterman seems to be one of them.
Yeah exactly. So he continues.
I'll just be right here.
So you know that evil Russian president, Vladimir Putin, you know? He and his wife got divorced. And they've been married for over 30 years. But they split up last summer after she caught him invading Georgia.
Good one. That was nice.
Say hello to my good friend, Paul Schaefer.
He pretended like he was going to take over the whole rest of the show.
And that's all he did?
He came out other time later. He came out and said he wanted to take a selfie with Lady Gaga. And then they presented Lady Gaga from the wings. And then she came out and the three of them, Bill and Dave and Gaga, all took a picture together.
That's funny.
It's just Dave was the king of just the random drop-ins, you know?
So is Bill Murray, though. I mean, he's the guy that he doesn't want to just come out and be a guest. He wants to do something wacky and different.
Exactly, yeah. So I think even for those of us who have not been watching Letterman regularly for a long time, I think we're going to probably start a little bit more and start appreciating a little bit more of Dave's greatness before we lose him next year.
Yeah. I'm not the uber fan that Jimmy Kimmel was, who watched him growing up and wanted to be him growing up, but I watched a lot of Letterman.
Yeah.
A lot. And that's that was a shock yesterday. It makes sense. You look at it and you go, the guy's been doing the show for, what, 33 years or something?
Right.
That makes sense.
And he's an old man.
Yeah.
And let him enjoy, you know, the fruits of his labor and retire and do something else with his life. And his kid. Yeah, exactly.
That'll work for about 2 weeks, but just saying.
No, I think Letterman is going to be like Johnny Carson was, who will retire from television and then you'll almost never see him again. Yeah. I don't think Dave's going to be one of those guys who's going to be scratching to get back to it, you know?
Right. Jay Leno.
All right, let's talk about By the way, Kevin, before you move on, Jay Leno is one of the names that people are throwing around as his potential replacement.
So
he may not be done with Jay yet.
There's no way.
I know, right?
There's never any way with him, and it always seems to work out for him. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Believe it or not, I'm not listening to you.
Okay, good. We have Brian Unger and Zane Lamprey, who are doing a show called Showdown of the Unbreakables. Unbeatables, I'm sorry. It's a terrible title. I haven't gotten it right once.
Okay.
And most of the time I blame me, but this is a terrible title for a show.
I agree.
But they basically are just destroying stuff. It's my kind of show. They blow stuff up.
It's not for me. It is not for me.
Oh, it's so me. They blow stuff up. They run stuff into each other. They drop stuff on other stuff. Just looks like good fun. We have Tim Simons on the program. Veep is back tonight. And if you haven't seen Veep yet, it is great.
I love that show.
A brand new internet roundup today. Mm-hmm. We have Thanks for That Tweet Bean today.
How dare you?
How dare you? Oops. We have Movie Beat today because it's Friday. And one of the comedians that is in Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness, we have Patton Oswalt on today as well.
Awesome.
And your tickets in the Party Bus section. Party Bus not included. But that's right up front. In what would normally be the pit, you get tickets right up front. You get parking. You get the opportunity to have a meet and greet with Kevin and Bean if you have any interest in that.
Sure, don't have to though.
You
sure, not recommended.
It's not a requirement, But if you win, you will do that, and it is tomorrow night. So we're very excited about that. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:53.
Ralph, did you hear that Ant-Man over here is leaving food out for his pets?
Yeah, sure. Well, that's why he's one of the Avengers.
I asked Bean what's his policy, because I know he draws the line well below what you and I do as far as killing animals. And he says,
I have to lasso a spider in my home and ride it like it's in a rodeo.
He actually kills them. Bean kills ants.
What?
Yeah.
I'm calling PETA.
He said because they're too small to pick up and put outside.
There's no effective way
to
pick
them up.
Can
you see him trying to do that?
Come here, little ant.
Crawl up on my finger.
What should I do with the one that's walking across my computer right now?
I'm firmly on the kill bandwagon.
No, you have to leave it. Lisa, you have to leave it. Oh, that was a service ant, Lisa.
Sorry, little ant.
Done.
I try not to.
That was my service ant. It reduces my anxiety.
Oh, now Ralph's going to be touchy all day.
Oh, no, my service ant.
What a bummer. Hey, it's 5:54. It's Friday. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. What the hell is going on?
Animals blow, right?
No, animals are the best.
Dogs are great. Everyone
Dogs
else
Dogs are great. All the rest of the animals blow.
Yeah. Cats are great. Pigs are great.
Please.
Cows are great.
Nope. Cows are great on a bun with some barbecue sauce. I'll give you that. Everyone's still talking about the James Franco thing that broke yesterday about him flirting with a 17-year-old girl from Scotland. And her name was Lucy Claude, and there was some flirting exchanged via Instagram, and she went, someone went public with the screenshots of that chat that they had, and they ended up not getting together, but it creeped everyone out, and people were calling for his head, and she's underage, and what do you think?
It doesn't make him look good if he knew she was underage. It does seem like he should have left
it there,
right? Well,
here's the thing, and I'm really getting cheesed off. People keep saying this underage thing. The law of consent in New York State is 17 years old.
Oh,
she was 17 years old.
Oh, I didn't know that. That makes a difference.
So even had something happen, which it didn't, creepy, yes. Illegal, no.
Huh.
So everyone needs just to breathe.
Why do you think she's coming out with the story with the screenshots just to make get famous?
This is the second part of my story, Kevin. I'm glad you asked. There is another wrinkle to it today where people saying, yesterday was also the day that the trailer dropped for James Franco's new movie, Palo Alto, where he plays a high school coach who has an inappropriate sexual relationship with an underage soccer player.
Is that right? This is advertising.
And Lucy Claude, her Instagram account has been closed. No one can no longer find her. And or contact her in any way via Twitter or Instagram. Now she may just be embarrassed and would have turned those accounts off. Or is this whole thing one big viral publicity stunt?
It's
giving
tough.
People pause.
It's tough to get any traction. People are trying everything.
Yeah. So it certainly...
I'll just be your secret lover.
It certainly made people talk about this upcoming film, Palo Alto, which is a small independent film, maybe more so than they would have otherwise. So it's either planned... Or he's just really lucky he got horny for a 17-year-old this week.
Yeah. One or the other. James Franco makes so many terrible movies every year that this was just going to be another one that we would ignore, but now we can't.
Have you seen the trailer? It doesn't look terrible to me.
Oh, really? Oh, good.
Yeah.
He's got another one that just came out 2 weeks ago that I hear is just awful.
Emma Roberts co-stars in this film. Val Kilmer is also in it, directed by Gia Coppola, I believe, is the writer-director
of
this film.
And what's the name of it?
Palo Alto.
Interesting. Sounds good.
Kate Winslet says she's still haunted by that nude portrait that Leonardo DiCaprio drew of her in Titanic. You remember who says, I want to draw you?
Sure.
Draw me like one of your French girls, and she lays back on the couch wearing that diamond. And
How is she still haunted by that?
Well, she says wherever she goes on red carpets, when people come up to her, say, can I have your autograph? Can I have your autograph? She looked down, and it's a reproduction 8x10 of that sketch from the movie.
Oh, that's fun.
Of all the pictures in the world, they show up with that, which isn't even a photo of her. It's a nude sketch of her. She says, I don't sign that picture. It feels very uncomfortable to me. Why would people do that to me? People ask me to sign that picture a lot. It's still haunting me. It's quite funny, really. But it says it makes her uncomfortable when someone brings her a sketch of her nude body for her to sign. It is, I can see.
It is funny, but yeah, it is weird for her.
A little off-putting.
Imagine.
Especially when James Franco did it. He came out recently and he was creeping her out. And I thought this was odd. Shows you the power of television. There's a popular Korean TV show called My Love from Another Star, which sounds just awful. It's about an alien from another planet who comes to Earth and falls in love with a famous actress.
Okay.
They say it's a cross between Third Rock from the Sun and Notting Hill. Anyway, the famous actress in the TV show is played by a Korean star named Jun Ji-hoon. And she wears a particular shade of coral lipstick. Coral pink lipstick from Yves Saint Laurent's lipstick collection. Well, this has caused a worldwide shortage, this TV show. Because every woman in Korea is insisting on owning this lipstick color.
This always happens.
Really?
Yeah. But this isn't just in Korea. You can't get it anywhere in the world, Lisa. People are flying around the country to duty-free shops in New York, Melbourne, and Paris to buy the lipstick and bring it back to Korea. It's not anywhere anymore.
People are flying from Korea to New York to buy lipstick?
Yes.
Come on.
Chicks, right?
Well, I'm guessing
it's
chicks. Yeah.
Wow.
There's a run on it now, and it's a worldwide shortage. You can't find this lipstick anymore because that's how popular the show is in Korea.
All right. Weird.
Weird indeed. Today's celebrity birthdays. Austin Mahone. Oh, all the Mahomies are partying today. Mahoneites.
I don't know what they're called.
Mahoganies. I don't know.
I think you had it right the first time.
Mahomies.
He's what guy? Which one is he? He's Cody Simpson-esque, right? He's one of those.
He's right. Bieber-esque in the sense that he was discovered on YouTube, and they're trying to manufacture him into a bona fide pop star. 18 years old today. Means James Franco's not interested in him. Jamie Lynn Spears is 23. Natasha Lyonne is 35. David Blaine, the magician. Poof. He's 41 years old. Magnus Svenningsson.
Magnus
Svenningsson of the Cardigans is 42 years old today. If we have some time, we'll get to some.
Never had him on. Never met the
Cardigan interview tape.
Always wanted to talk to him. Never got a chance.
It's funny. We did have him on. I remember in the studio. You remember?
Yeah.
We'll play it later.
We'll play it later.
Don't worry about it, Pete.
Actor Barry Pepper is 44 years old. Robert Downey, Mother Effin Jr., is 49 years old. David Cross turns 50. Hugo Weaving is 54. And writer-producer David E. Kelly celebrates his 58th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Melinda Guile from Chino just won front row seats to see the Arctic Monkeys at Staples Center in August. That's the way to see a show, right, kids?
I would guess so, yeah.
Got another chance for you to win those in the 8 o'clock hour this morning here on KROQ. It is Friday. Ralph is here. It's time for the Movie Beat.
Oops.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Just sad, man. Just sad. A lot of movies coming out this weekend. Ton of movies. No time for chitter chatter, jibber jabber. Let's move on. Island of Lemurs, Madagascar. This sounds like we've got to move it, move it. We've got to move it. But it's not. No. It is a documentary that follows Dr. Patricia C. Wright's mission to help the lemurs, highly evolved creatures who arrived on Madagascar millions of years ago as castaways, but now are highly endangered. Oh, what are we going to do about the lemurs? What's going to happen about the lemurs in Madagascar?
Seriously, tell us what movies are in theaters today.
This is Island of Lemurs, Madagascar.
It's real.
In IMAX. So you get to see some giant honking lemurs. Here's a little clip from the trailer.
These ultimate survivors are now in danger. But a team of scientists are working to save our oldest living relatives. And the only place on Earth they call home.
The giant honking lemurs, by the way, have been added to Coachella.
Did they really get Morgan Freeman to do the voiceover? Or is that an impersonator, Ralph?
That's Morgan Freeman.
That's really him, huh? Wow. Spending the money.
All the lemurs buy things with Visa. It's everywhere they want to be.
Lemurs are awfully cute.
Under the Skin opens up this weekend as well. This is a honked up film.
Wow, what's going on? It must be somebody super hot that Bean's creepy for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Who?
Bean can't wait for me to even do the intro. I know. Tell the stories anymore.
And there's another movie.
Under the Skin stars Scarlett Johansson as an alien seductress who preys upon hitchhikers in Scotland. I know it sounds horrible.
No, I'm in.
But the trailer looks pretty interesting. And she gets plenty naked in this film.
Naked?
And I would be so on board on everything about this film except for the fact she does a British accent throughout it.
Oh, no.
Naked!
But you can ignore that if she's naked.
I'll try.
Yeah.
Seems like you could.
Here's some clips from the trailer of Under the Skin.
So you live alone?
Yes.
You become pretty.
Well, I know gorgeous.
Come to me. When was the last time you touched someone?
Ah!
You want to wake up, do you?
Sorry for the premature
Do you think I'm pretty? Do you want to come home with me? Jim Jiminy, Jim Jiminy, Jim Jim Jeroo. Jonathan Glazer directs. A lot of hype for this film, actually. People are talking about it, comparing it to Stanley Kubrick and things like that there. So, you may want to check it out. Looks creepy.
Naked.
Looks creepy sexy.
When she gets naked, I mean, is it her or is it an alien? I mean,
no, she's an alien who takes human form.
Human
so
form,
it
okay.
It is her, yeah.
Right, I mean.
Afflicted, another horror movie, opens up this weekend in limited release. Cliff Prowse and Derek Lee, who are also the directors of this film. It's one of these self-shot, sort of found footage kind of deals about two friends who go on the trip of a lifetime. But it takes a dark turn when one of them is struck with a mysterious affliction. Ah! Here's a clip from the trailer of Afflicted.
We should be at the hospital.
There is nothing they can do.
Let's just go home.
No, we're not going home. We're not going anywhere.
Enough! I have no idea what's going on with Derek. But what he did should be impossible.
I need to find Audrey. It starts with her.
Are you okay?
I feel fine.
Yes.
He's not okay. He's afflicted.
Awesome.
Nymphomaniac Volume 2 comes out this weekend. Yes, it's the second volume of the film that you didn't see the first volume of. Lars von Trier's exploration of Charlotte Gainsbourg's twisted sexuality. Stellan Skarsgård, Willem Dafoe, Jamie Bell also star in the continuation of this story. A lot of people humping. So you can check that out. Here's some clips from the trailer.
My name is Jo, and I'm a nymphomaniac. Sex addict. I am a nymphomaniac, and I love my filthy, dirty lust.
I love you, Jo. I love you. I love your wildness. When you buy a tiger, right, you also have to feed it.
That man, you have to ask him if he wanted to have sex with me.
You were a woman demanding her right, and you reacted aggressively, almost like a man, and you fought back. It's very touching, all this.
Then you've probably misunderstood the whole thing.
No! Ah! Frankie and Alice opens up this weekend. Yeah. Where do you see the trailer of this? Halle Berry, just acting her ass off. Here's the thing. We gave her an Oscar, and now she thinks she can act. And now we got problems. In this one, she plays a go-go dancer with multiple personality disorder.
Okay.
While working with her psychotherapist to uncover the mystery of what haunts her inside and why she's... Stellan Skarsgård also stars in this. Here's a scene where Halle Berry freaks out because she's got multiple personality disorder, man.
Sure.
It's all right. I took the kid to my mama's on Crenshaw, so...
Filthy hands off me. Mortify, therefore, your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thanks sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience.
Frankie, come on, baby.
Frankie is not here.
See?
Why can't Frankie speak up?
She's not there, man. She's got personality disorder.
Hmm.
Alan Partridge opens up this weekend in limited release. Steve Coogan, Colm Meaney. I can't wait to see this movie. For those of you who don't know, Alan Partridge was a very successful TV series in the UK starring Steve Coogan, who played, oddly enough, a morning radio broadcaster, who is just irascible and cranky and funny and brutal. And just, I love this series. I'm looking forward to seeing this feature film continuation of Alan Partridge's adventures. And this film, his radio station is taken over by a new media conglomerate. And it sets in motion a chain of events which sees Alan having to work with the police to defuse a violent siege that takes place at his radio station. Here's some clips from the trailer of Alan Partridge.
Pat, no one's getting sacked. Just sack Pat.
Just gave me 30 minutes to clear out my locker.
Oh.
There you are. Huh?
Pat is willing to talk to us through you.
You are the face of this siege.
I am siege face.
So, you're with the police now?
Police.
I, Alan Partridge, a hostage, broadcasting live at gunpoint.
It's all right, I'm not retreating. Pat's tugging me off. Come on, we're better than that.
I'm siege face.
Sounds funny.
Dom Hemingway opens up this weekend after spending 12 years in prison for keeping his mouth shut. A notorious safecracker, Dom Hemingway, is back on the streets of London looking to collect what he's owed. Great cast in this one as well. Jude Law, Richard E. Grant, Emilia Clarke. This is in limited release. Here's a scene from Dom Hemingway where Dom is admiring a young lady perhaps he shouldn't.
Dom, don't think what you're thinking. That's Mr. Fontaine's property.
Property is a relative term for a thief.
Still,
I'm just looking, admiring. She's rather fit.
Not her, not Paulina.
Fit to fiddle, I'd say.
Dom, you don't admire that.
Bugger off, Dickie. I'll admire what I want to admire. Think what I want to think. Fiddle who I want to fiddle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love British gangster movies.
She's rather fit. What a strange. That's a strange
common
way of
phrase
saying.
Over there. Yeah, yeah, she's fit.
I mean, she's hot, right?
Oh, yeah, she's fit, isn't she? Yeah. That's what I'm saying. She's fit, mate. And lastly, the big winner of the weekend, Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
This looks like the best one yet.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield. They better put that song in there. I love that song.
That would not help.
Chris Evans is back as Cap. Samuel L. Jackson returns as the director of S.H.I.E.L.D. Nick Fury. Scarlett Johansson is, of course, the Black Widow. Robert Redford joins the cast in this continuation of the story of Captain America leading up to the events, of course, in Avengers 3. So if you are a Marvel fan, this is the movie for you this weekend as he battles a secret Soviet agent known as the Winter Soldier. But there's more going on there. What could be going on? Ooh, I'm confused. Ooh, it's a mystery. Here's some scenes from the clips of Captain America, Winter Soldier.
Most of the intelligence community doesn't believe he exists. The ones that do call him the Winter Soldier.
Captain, to build a better world, sometimes means tearing the old one down. And that makes enemies.
People are going to die. Can't let that happen.
Captain America needs my help.
When do we start?
We just did.
Yeah!
We just did.
Oh, love Cap. That's going to make about $90 million this weekend. So it's good news for you because you want to see one of the other movies. There'll be lots of seats for you to choose from.
But if you don't want to see one of the other movies.
Come on! Alan Partridge?
It looks funny, but I can't see
under
that.
Under the skin?
Looks funny, but I can't see that before Captain America.
Yeah, you can. There's no, there's no list.
You know, Bean and I, we geek out.
Oh, I know. I forgot what geeks you are. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman's Ralph Garman's movie beat.
It is the party of the year. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 is going to be tomorrow night at the Shrine. We are so excited about it. We've got your final pair of tickets up close in the party bus section that you can win next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And one of our we're not supposed to pick favorites because they're all great and we're happy they're all on the bill. But the fact that Patton Oswalt is coming in here next hour is pretty sweet, I got to tell you.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, so, for today, I mean, he's our favorite.
He's our favorite, exactly, yeah. So anyway, great great stuff. Get all the details at KROQ.com. Your chance to win those tickets with us and Patton next hour. Right now, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air for you at 323-520-AFRO. This is our Kevin and Bean Morning Show voicemail. You call, leave a message on any topic. We play it back on the radio.
Hey, it's me, Ryan, again. I just want you both to know how much I really dig what's going on. If you give me a call back, I'd love to chat. It's, you know, it's what it is.
Yeah.
It is what
right.
It is.
Thank you, Ryan.
We don't normally call back, but that guy really makes me want to call, doesn't he?
Well, he gave us a lot of incentives.
This guy is the me of listeners.
Hey, Kevin, I was going to ask you a question, but I forgot what it was.
All right. Thank you for calling and leaving that message for us.
Ah, but he called back.
Kevin, I remember the question. It was for Bean. Oh, I'm getting pulled over right now. And I'm not going. I'm not here.
He should get pulled over. What it sounded like.
Bean's a dick! Bean's a dick!
I like that. That's
like a chant.
That's a guy and a girl that have really kind of worked it out. They probably rehearsed it three or four times. Mm-hmm. Make
that
sure they can do it together.
Unnecessary to me.
Oh, I think it sounds good.
I just want to watch my Seattle Mariners. So good. I really wish I had autographs of the president. So good.
Look, I'm a guy who enjoys things. What's wrong with that? What's Great wrong impression. With squeezing every last drop out of life?
So good. That's Bean actually doing it. Another one for you, Bean.
Bean Baxter, I'm not a rich man by any means, but I will personally take out a cash advance with several credit cards to come up to Seattle and bash your freaking head in. I'm tired of hearing you breathe and click, 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 click on the damn mouse. Stop it!
That's what I'm famous for.
We'll talk about this off the air. I'll go, You're clicking pretty loud. No one can hear it.
That's what he says.
Okay.
Hey, Bean, I got a question for you. Would you rather be able to know all the details of the Malaysian flight if and only if...
All right, so this guy's offering you, let's say he knows.
Okay.
Exactly. I'm intrigued.
Believe
what
me.
Happened.
Believe me, right now I'm willing to agree to whatever this deal is if I get the answers to Malaysia Flight 370.
You had to call it daylight saving time. For the rest of your life. Could you do it?
For the rest of your life.
Wow. In other words, intentionally make an error by calling it daylight savings time for the rest of my
right,
life.
Right, you think it's an error, but you're in line with everybody else.
Wow.
So nobody notices that you're making the error.
Wow, that is a tough one. I think I might not be able to do that.
Really?
As much as I want to know about the plane, I don't think that I could say it wrong every single time. Unless I just made a deal that I would just never ever utter it. I think that might be my workaround. Is I just would never ever
have
say
that
it.
Option. That guy's making the rules, not you.
I'll just call it DST. That's what I'll do.
Set the money car.
Nope.
No.
Nope. Nope.
Now the
nope.
Santa Monica guy moved to Texas, and he shan't be replaced.
Boy, when TV shows go away, people get upset.
Oh, my God. How I met your mother. Oh, my God. The mother was dead all along. She was dead all along. Oh, man. Who the hell would have guessed? Great show. I laughed. I cried. I smiled. I frowned, I farted, I even got up to go, you know, poop a little. It was great. The blue French horn, it's over. It's over.
We need to send someone to check on him.
It is tough to lose a favorite when it leaves the schedule.
You guys should do that Geek Girls segment more often. Oh, hey, ladies, what color is the Silver Surfer?
I don't know, blue.
Yeah, the ladies didn't bring the knowledge when we were trying to give away movie tickets for
right.
them last week.
People love Lisa.
Mostly.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bean's got his fair share of haters, as do I.
Yeah.
But Lisa pretty much has all the love.
I woke up this morning with morning wood, and it reminded me to tune in to Lisa May. And then I took a... And it reminded me that Kevin and Bean were on that show, too.
How dare you, sir?
Happens to me, too.
This guy mics his guitar really well, not his voice so much.
Kevin, you can suck my... Bean, you can suck my... Lisa May...
I don't know. Fail.
Okay.
I mean, I appreciate the effort.
The sentiment was good.
Yep. But we couldn't hear you. And so, and it was a little pitchy dog. So 323-520-AFRO 24 hours a day. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:56.
Finally Friday. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
David Letterman is quitting.
What?
Yeah.
Was this in the news?
Yeah, it was. He was also in that plane. He was on the Malaysian airliner. He went down with them. After more than 30 years in late-night television, David Letterman announced last night the taping of his TV show that he will step down in 2015. Apparently, he called Les Moonves, the president of CBS, just minutes before he stepped out on stage and broke the news to the audience.
Really?
Yeah. So not a lot of consideration there.
Hey, just heads up, in 30 seconds, I'm quitting.
Someone's going to tweet this news in about a minute, so you might want to stay near your phone.
But it sounded like they had had kind of an ongoing conversation over the years about eventually we're going to get there and it's getting closer, right?
That's very different from I'm announcing my retirement today.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, although he didn't.
And he said it. He called him on the phone, hung up, and then walked out on the stage.
Yeah.
He said so as much
Leslie, as Leslie, it's been great. You've been great. The network has been great. But I'm retiring.
This is really.
Yep.
This is true. This is. You actually did this?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Well,
and what this means now is that Paul and I can be married.
Oh, good.
We don't have the timing of this precisely down. It will be, I think, at least a year or so, but sometime in the not too distant future, 2015, for the love of God. Yeah, in fact, Paul and I will be wrapping things up and taking a hike.
There was cheering.
Well, it's a salute to him. I don't believe they were cheering that he was leaving. In fact, they were quite stunned when he first announced it. I think a lot of people didn't know whether he was kidding or
not.
They were shocked.
Hey, Paul sounded surprised.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I wondered about that.
No, Paul wasn't surprised.
I'm sure he knew.
He must have told him ahead of time, right?
Yeah. So who's going to take over? Well, of course, everyone's starting to bandy around. We're going to hear this for a year now. We're going to listen to everybody's idea. Oh, no, this is who's going to take. Oh, for sure, this person. The good news is Craig Ferguson's believed to have the first right of refusal to replace Letterman with his show, just moving it up to the 11:30 time slot. So I think he's earned it, and I think he's great.
I think he's good.
So
it's not a flashy or exciting choice, but it certainly would be a cheap option for them, too.
But a good one.
I compared think. To hiring you know, somebody for a ton of money.
In sequence, you want Elton John out there? Who's your flashy, exciting choice?
Adele Dazeem.
Well, sure, yeah, she would be great. Today's celebrity birthdays. Writer, producer David E. Kelly is 58 years old today. Actor Hugo Weaving. Agent Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He was great in those Matrix movies, remember?
Yep.
David Cross is 50 years old today. Robert Downey Jr. is 49. Hello, Mr. Anderson. Barry Pepper is 44. Magnus Svenningsson.
Oh, Magnus.
Magnus Svenningsson.
How we miss Magnus.
Of the Cardigans. He is 42 years old today. Remember when you guys interviewed them?
Nope.
Good times.
Is it, do you guys, I don't know where I'm going with this. And, yeah, okay. Those are just some of the highlights of our best questions.
I'll tell you what happened was they came in and they did not want to be here.
But everyone feels that way.
Right. But everyone tries. They did not try. So Bean and I burned through, 30 questions in the first 30 seconds. And then from that point on, we were just out. And one of them fell asleep. I think it was Magnus. Put his head on the table and fell asleep during the interview.
It's Magnus Svenningsson.
It must be exhausting to be Magnus.
It was awesome.
David Blaine's 41. James Rode from Psych. He's 38 years old today. Natasha Lyonne is 35. Jamie Lynn Spears is 23. And Austin Mahone, Pogo Mahone, he is 18 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And we continue to try to buy your love today. We've got front row seats for you to see the Arctic Monkeys at Staples Center August 7th. Tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock, by the way, if you want to buy those tickets. We also have Coachella tickets for you at 9 o'clock again this morning. And this hour, tickets in the Party Bus section of Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness 2014 that we'll do with our good friend Patton Oswalt, who will be with us tomorrow night. That's all coming up here on K-Rock.
Time for the painful segment that we call...
That's right. Tweet.
Bean!
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's time.
You know, it's not fun for us either, Bean.
Right. We don't enjoy
well,
this.
Well, let's
this
not
is like,
do
this
it.
This is lancing a boil. It has to be done.
There's no reason for us to do this.
Or else it gets infected.
That's
and
right.
Then
it can
you
get
lose
worse.
A limb.
Ralph's right. It can get much, much worse.
It gets gangrenous.
You don't think you could go to Ralph's tweets or Kevin's tweets or Lisa's tweets or Dave's tweets or anybody and pick out some tweets that out of context you didn't enjoy?
Yes, I think I could do that for a year of Ralph's tweets. We get it from you in 2 days.
How dare you?
Every one of them. They just stack it. It's like planes over a runway.
Right. It's closed.
They're just circling, just waiting to land the tremendously crappy tweets that you put out.
I am curious to hear what tweets you have problems with, because I think I have been exceptionally on point lately.
I know. You say that every time.
Okay. But if that was the plane, you would tell us, right?
Okay.
That's that tweet.
That's just because Malaysia Airlines 370 is still missing, guys. And nobody will tell us.
Hey, I am on vacation this week, so it'd be a convenient time to tell me where the damned plane is.
Oh, God.
That's that tweet.
Yeah, just wait, Lisa.
What? There's more?
Stop being a dick and tell me where the plane is.
Really? That's just in general.
That's a tweet.
That's a message to all media.
Right, but you think all media knows.
And they're just holding back.
They're just effing with you.
Well, something's got to be happening here.
Nothing's happening.
There's no other explanation.
Yeah, there is. They haven't found it. Nobody knows where it is.
Well, then they should just tell us.
Still obsessing about Flight 370. Yeah. Authorities have nothing to tell you.
There you go.
Just stumbled upon my taped off TV onto VHS tape copy of the Ewok movie. So I guess I'm glad I saved that for 30 years.
What?
That's Star Wars? Yeah, you know how you're like, I'm moving. And you come across so much crap that you can't believe you've held on to for all these years.
Right.
And that was just one of them.
So are you going to inventory for us all the useless crap that you're finding when you move?
No, that was just one item, one tweet about
that tweet.
The Ewok movie.
You picked out the real interesting one, did you, to put it out there?
Who wants to break the news about Uncle Joe? You remember Uncle Joe. He was the one afraid to cut the cake.
I don't know what that
means. No one does, Kevin.
Ralph, you do. No. Come on, you got that.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Read it again.
Who wants to break the news about Uncle Joe? You remember Uncle Joe. He was the one afraid to cut the cake.
Doesn't sound at all familiar to you, Ralph, of all people.
I have no goddamn idea what that is about.
You, the classic rock fan, don't recognize...
Oh, this is another Bean 1970s rock tweet, which he loves.
The lyrics from Bob Seger's Fire Lake, Ralph.
Ralph?
Come on. I know you love Fire Lake by Bob Seger. Come on.
What do you think that tweet is going to accomplish?
Who is that for? If it was for me, you lost. Plus, I have you blocked on Twitter. So even I'm not going to see that.
But surely when you saw it this morning,
tweet,
you recognized.
Even a little bit. Not a glimmer. Not even like, wait a minute, what's that from? Nothing.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Wow.
Indeed.
I want the words "I screwed up" to follow up "wow."
I stand by that tweet, first of all.
That's that tweet.
Bean.
The people who got it loved the hell out of it. Very
There's
entertaining
no
to a few.
No one got it.
A, no one got it. And B, you have no idea how much joy it brought them, or not.
So impressed that Larry King said the word remuneration correctly today. 99% say renumeration. What a pro.
Sweet.
Thank you,
Jesus
Kevin.
In heaven.
That's that tweet.
What a waste of a tweet. That's unbelievable.
If you are also listening to the Little River Band's Christmas album right now, we should be friends.
Now, Bean, that's a joke because you know no one else is listening to it, right?
Well, I think it's unlikely that somebody at that exact moment was also listening to LRB's Christmas album.
But you think that everybody that follows you needs to know that you're listening to a band from the 70s do Christmas music.
I'm just saying if there was somebody out there who shared my enthusiasm for that record,
tweet,
then let him speak up now and be heard.
Girls with meteorology degrees are the best girls in the world. If you're not checking in with ABC7's Bree Winkler each morning, you fail. Hashtag swoon.
Oh, man.
I do love me some Bree.
Come on. Bean really loves weather so much that he has an entire category of weather girls. Like, he'll say, have you guys seen Channel 7? And we'll turn on and she'll be attractive. But then you go, well, there's so many attractive girls on TV and elsewhere. Nope. Has to be doing weather.
They're the hottest girls, like I said in the tweet. That just makes them extra special hot. That Bree Winkley, though.
Tweet.
Bean!
She's a good deal.
I don't think little kids should be allowed in super fancy restaurants like IHOP.
Is this thing on?
That's that.
Tweet.
Bean!
You're just
beautiful. You're a prize.
Come on, we gotta be done. Patton Oswalt is here, you guys.
You're doing it.
I'm already pre-sad knowing that Willie Nelson will probably die one day.
Wait, I have a couple of questions. One is, isn't it a certainty?
Yes,
he's not going to probably die one day.
Well, absolutely going to die.
For everybody but Willie, it is a certainty, but him I'm not so sure about.
And you're gonna pre-sad.
Yes, because it occurred to me that he's a living legend. He's in his 80s. He's not going to be around forever, and it's going to be a horrible day when we lose him. He's still great and still contributes so much to this great country of ours.
That's so weird because I'm pre-happy that you're going to die someday.
How dare you?
You're weirder than I thought, Patton.
Is that possible? Could Patton be weirder than any of us think? Patton, you got to scrape yourself off of the sidewalk here, son. You're looking rough. You're wearing yourself down to the nub, man.
Patton literally crawled in.
Yeah.
He did the Marine crawl through the door.
I saw myself reflected in the glass as I was walking up, and it looked like a hobo had found someone's car keys and had driven himself to a radio station, and he's just going to come in here and talk about the I don't like the new muffins that they have at the gas station. I've got to tell you guys, can I get on the wireless?
That is the voice of the great Patton Oswalt in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show, among other things, on his new comedy special, Tragedy Plus Comedy Equals Time, which premieres on Comedy Central this Sunday night. Definitely, definitely, definitely see it. It's available for purchase on Tuesday.
Yeah.
So, Patton, we joke about your schedule, but is there a show on TV you haven't been on this year?
Oh, God. You know what? There's quite a handful of shows that I haven't been on that I would like to. It's very frustrating because, you know, we've said this before, TV is so friggin' good right now.
Yes, right.
It's a lot of good stuff. Good. And you don't want to, you know, I'm in this very luck. I'm very lucky. I'm getting asked to be on things, but there's certain things. Now I'm a little worried that if you're on too many things, then by virtue of, oh, you just wear out your welcome. Like, enough.
Right.
Enough. So you have to be – there was a show that I really, really love that I was offered to do a little run on that I had to turn down. It was bittersweet because I really wanted to do the show. My schedule wouldn't permit it. But also I was like, you know what? I almost
Housewives of Atlanta?
That look, there's those people. They get – those women are struggling, you know? And you can laugh, ha-ha, yeah, it's real funny. But I was going to be there, and I was going to help them open a yogurt stand. And, you know, whatever. No, but there was a...
So you turned down something you wanted to do because you were afraid of burnout factor.
Well, no.
You were too busy.
What was weird was I literally, we couldn't make my schedule work. And then afterward, I sort of said, I bet that would have been the straw that broke the camel's back if I had done that.
Oh, really?
It would have been a little too much. And it is a show that I love.
But you can't say.
And I can't. But I can't say because they got the other person they got to do my role is fantastic. And
okay.
So I don't want people going, oh, that could have been him. It's the show is great with or without me.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and
I
also
love that Patton is now hardcore promoting a show he's not on. Love that.
But also, you know, you also get worried about what if I'm like when I did Justified, which that's one of my favorite shows on TV. There's only two episodes left this season.
Oh,
I can't take it.
So sad.
I was afraid, like, what if I'm the crappy thing on this great show? I don't want to go on a great show and stink.
Yeah, they don't want to point to that moment
right.
And say that was what kind of...
And have the producers go, well, you know, we make mistakes.
Right.
You know, we had that, we you know... Sometimes...
Or even worse, we had a good run.
Yeah. Or, yeah, you do not want to be... Yeah, you don't want them going over their guest casting choices.
Yeah.
And then just going, you know, we've got the... we have the Jerry Burns, which is, you know, those are the highlights. Uh-huh. And then, yeah, your valleys, like your Patton Oswalt. Yeah. But the show survives.
You kind of made a joke about that because you're on Comedy Bang Bang next month. You kind of made a joke about that, about if you were up for Star Wars, how much would you want to be in Star Wars, but then how much might Star Wars suck if they put you in it?
Exactly.
So it's a fine line to walk, right?
Oh, no, yeah. I remember there was an interview years ago with Charlton Heston, and you know, he turned down both Cool Hand Luke and then Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Wow.
And,
both classics.
And yeah, and Paul Newman took those roles that he was offered. And so the interviewer was saying, you must, you know, do you ever like kind of kick yourself? And he said, no, that I think the reason those movies were successful was because they got Paul Newman.
Oh, no kidding.
I could have been in them and it would have stunk because they cast me. So
wow.
I think of it as I dodged a bullet. I've made plenty of good movies.
Right.
And I did good movies that they cast me in over someone else that would have ruined it. So it all worked out.
Interesting attitude. Yeah, it's a good attitude.
Like, that's a great, yeah.
Now so you're on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., right?
Yes, I'm in. I'm on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in 2 weeks.
Wow. And you're, now,
that's exciting.
Forgive me, but you're one of the original S.H.I.E.L.D. members, right? I mean, from back from World War II, right?
Yeah, well, I'm one of the, I think I'm a retconned version of him. Someone showed me a drawing of this guy. He's this blonde, cut, muscular guy.
Yeah, he looks like Thor.
Yeah, picture of me. So looks
that's
like
a good, that's a good cast.
Yeah, you. Someone shot him with a Chaz Bono ray or something. To, if they're going to cast me, but I've never signed more non-disclosure agreements in my life.
Is that right?
Yeah,
in
they keep my, a tight lid on the Avengers stuff.
As many when I did Ratatouille, and you sign a lot when you do Pixar and Disney. I signed. Like the size of a, you know.
What would happen to you if you told us secrets that you weren't supposed to tell us about that show? Would they sue you?
I almost feel like if I blabbed right now, I'd walk out and there would be a large SUV with four guys in suits and
team of snipers
sunglasses just standing out there, and they would just over there like, Mr. Oswald, if you would just come.
And that's the last we'd ever hear from you.
Patton, tell me what that's like for you, though, as a lifelong card-carrying certified geek to be part of the Marvel Universe in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, is that the greatest casting call you ever got?
Yeah, hang on. How can I say this? Again, I'm thinking of all without the NBAs.
Dying.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking about a 5-year-old LeBron James imagining winning the NBA Finals. You know, that's this moment for you, right?
Yeah. I mean, it was also really cool. Yeah. I mean, and it was cool to be part of the Marvel Universe where it's the scrappy kind of lower tier Marvel Universe where these, you know, Clark Gregg is so great at he's leading this team and Joss Whedon is always good at putting together the ragtag team
right.
that can do it that are in these dealing with these gigantic crises and they're humans basically. They,
right.
they don't have any powers. So that was really interesting to be part of that and because that crew is so amazing.
Yeah. Patton Oswalt is here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Of course, Tragically Plays Comedy Equals Time. We'll talk about in a moment. That's his new comedy special debuting on Comedy Central this Sunday night. Yeah. And if folks don't know why we talk about Patton being the Renaissance man on television, I mean, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, mm-hmm. Parks and Rec, you do the voice for the Goldbergs, mm-hmm. Modern Family. You're on At Midnight last night.
I was on The Soup yesterday.
You're on The Soup. I saw The Soup. By the way, tell Kevin about that crazy Jeopardy contestant.
Okay. Do you not?
I don't watch Jeopardy because I already feel dumb enough.
Well, I have to watch it next week because she comes back next week.
Okay.
This week was some. Her name is Amy. Hang on, Amy Nineighbor.
That's right.
Amy Nineighbor, and she's brilliant, and she's gorgeous, and she almost looks like. How do I put this? It's almost like, remember in Alien when Ian Holm, he's an android and he kind of starts going a little nuts?
Yeah.
She looks like an android, like just about to start going
crazy.
A little crazy. And she does these weird shout outs to her old dental hygienist. Like,
what?
She'll, in Final Jeopardy, she'll write like a hi, like a little message.
Hi, Gina.
Yeah, and they're like, who's that? She goes, that is my ex-dental hygienist.
But she says it in a way that you don't know whether she just doesn't go to that dentist anymore or whether that dentist assistant is in a shallow grave somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then there's one, you can watch this on YouTube, where after a show, Alex Trebek comes up to her, you know, to say goodbye, and she says something really disturbing and angry to him. It's not mic'd, but watch it, and people are trying to figure out what it is she's saying, but she's like...
It seemed threatening, didn't it?
Yeah, oh, it seemed very
really?
Threatening.
She's
and
pointing
he,
at him and
she's
everything?
Coming back?
And he just... Well, she won all week. I mean, she crushed. And next week, it'll be her and then that weird game theory dude. What's his name? Chu or something? Whatever.
Yeah, the Chinese guy or whatever.
I think
yeah.
they're bringing all those guys back. So it's going to be like the Spider-Man Sinister Six. There's all.
I think what's
together.
Happening, Patton. I think is there's an uprising. There's an uprising right now with these contestants because they're all starting to get so sassy. Did you see the guy this week who called Alex out on his sweatshop suit? His suit? Did you see that?
What? No.
Yes, this guy wants to win the money so that he can do a documentary about sweatshops around the world. And he said, Alex, maybe you ought to try to track down the 8-year-olds that made that fancy suit you're wearing. And I'm telling you, wow. I mean, it's like getting really sinister. I don't know what's happening.
Everybody's turning on Alex.
It's Jeopardy the Dark Side all of a sudden.
Our contestants today, Norman Osborn, Lex Luthor, and Otto Octavius.
That's what it's turning into. All right, a quick break. We come back more with our friend Patton Oswalt right after this on the Kevin Green Show on K-Rock.
So, Patton, you're a big comic book fan, right?
Yeah.
Real simple question for you.
Okay.
Star Wars or Star Trek or Star Search or Starbucks?
Gonna go with Star Jones.
Nice. Hey, we should speed up the slow clap just a little bit.
There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Great. Patton Oswalt on Comedy Bang Bang. That airs next next month. And by the way, Patton, I won't give anything away here, but was that some of the greatest kung fu that you've ever seen at the end of that episode that you were on?
That was pretty. Yes. I don't want to give it away, but yeah, it was pretty amazing.
I love that show because it is. I don't know that there's a more nonsensical show on TV.
It is
Eric Andre, maybe.
It's the closest thing to if they had given the Monty Python group a talk show and yes. What they would have done with, okay, well, the talk show could not be a more restrictive form.
Right.
So how do we start screwing with it? That's what they would have done. They would have done a show like that.
Yeah. Speaking of talk show host, Patton, because you happen to be here on a day where all of us are talking about Mr. Letterman's retirement announcement yesterday.
Yes.
What do you remember about either the first time or a memorable time that you went on Dave's show?
I only did Dave's show once.
Really? That's a surprise to me.
I know.
Did he not like you?
No, I mean, I can't tell this. I couldn't get a read on him. I went out and did stand-up, and he was – and the booker was so nice to me. Let me come in early and be in the room and
– That's cool.
And hang out. Yeah. And then he just came over and shook my hand, and he was like, thanks a lot, Pat. And I went, thank – and I said, thank you. And the minute I stopped making the third sound, he'd already turned away.
We've heard that story so many times from people. Dave is not necessarily a warm, friendly person when you get to finally do his show.
No, I think it takes a long time for him to warm up to people. Yeah, but when he does, awkward, I mean yeah. – but then when you see him with people that he's loose with, like Bill Murray and
yeah. Julia Willis, Roberts.
And Julia Roberts, I mean that – it looks like you almost feel like you're watching them when they're not on
air, right.
Just
yeah.
Kind of talking.
And some of them, like Regis and people like that, you can tell it's the kind of person he really does go to dinner with. You know?
Yeah, he really does hang out with them.
Were you surprised when you got the call to take over for him?
It was a little bit of a shock.
Yeah.
We're working out. Right now,
You have a band leader?
Well, right now, I have to pay for my ticket out there. That's a little weird.
Oh, that's strange.
So I'm trying to get them to pay for the plane ticket at least. I want an aisle seat and coach. They have a center thing near the bathroom. So, again, we're just starting negotiations. This is so early.
Sounds like you got a lot of negotiating to do.
Okay. I mean, they're starting me off. Look. You know what? That's what they're supposed to do. See what they can get.
Sure,
that's right.
They'll never know if they don't try.
Sure. A lot of people are saying this morning that even though maybe Letterman hasn't been making the headlines in recent years, he's still the giant comedy force for anyone under 50.
Yes.
You were influenced somehow by David Letterman. And I bet young wannabe comedian Patton Oswalt was watching a lot of Late Show with David Letterman back in the day.
When I was in college, right before I started stand-up, and especially right after I started stand-up, that was every night upstairs. We had one TV in the dorm, and I never missed Letterman. It felt like it was a thing just for me and my friends.
Yeah,
I knew all of the characters. I had a pitch meeting years later with the writer, ex-Letterman writer, who was Flunky the Late Night Clown.
Really?
And all I wanted to do was talk about Flunky, because I missed every single one of his appearances. So, like, all the little stuff he would do, he would pull away, and they'd go. The camera would go to a room where there was people in bear costumes spray painting broccoli silver. Just every thing about that was, oh, you're supposed to have fun when you do your
show. By the way, Jimmy Kimmel was the exact same way. He watched every single episode.
Yep. And I actually, the bittersweet thing about Dave was, a lot of times he was at his funniest when stuff wasn't working.
Yeah, or he didn't like someone.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. when things would start to eat it. So that's why when he went to CBS and then people got so pumped what he was doing, a little bit of the magic was gone for me just because at the old late night show, there were sometimes it was clear the audience was just, well, we couldn't get into Cats. And then there was a guy down there who said, well, you can go be a TV show. And I don't know what this TV show is. We thought it would be some, you know, it's this guy just yelling at us. And then Crispin Glover's out here with his rock collection. I don't know what's happening.
He's
this kicking
band, at me.
Pear Ubu, what the heck? So I just, oh, God, I love that.
It's going to be sad. It's going to be sad to see him go. Hey, tell us a little bit about your special, Patton. I mean, ostensibly, that's why you're here today. Comedy Central, this Sunday night at 6. Tragedy plus comedy equals time.
Yeah, well, this Sunday night at 10 p.m., right after Game of Thrones. So
oh, nice.
When you're done watching the boobies and the rape and the dragons, it's time to settle down with the palate cleanser of my special over on Comedy Central. It was I shot it last year at Comic-Con.
Oh.
Because I didn't want to travel as much anymore. I can't stand traveling.
Really?
But I still love doing stand-up. So I'm like, well, what's the city where the most amount of my fans will be in one place?
And then Comic-Con is the easy answer.
I'll go to Comic-Con and... It's just, it's me basically embracing the fact that it's, you know what it is? It's watching a nerd get old. And it's that idea of, okay, how do I embrace that as much of a nerd I want to be, now I'm responsible for another human life. I'm a dad now.
Right.
So I can only get so upset about, a, you know, they, so Dr. Octopus took over Peter Parker's brain. What? Like, maybe at most I can stew for 5 minutes about that.
You're not writing as many strongly worded letters as you used to.
No. There's not as many late night debates. I don't get to see as many movies. I was telling people, I either see movies now 6 months after they come out
right.
or 3 months before they come out.
Right.
Like someone will send me a screener, but I never, like on the weekends, I'm just with my daughter all day and I can't go.
How old is she?
Hey, well, she's five.
Five.
So, hey, the second part of Nymphomaniac's out. I want to see Frozen. Let's go see Frozen again. I've seen Frozen 5 times in the theater.
Love oh,
it.
My
five
God.
5 times. I haven't seen Blade Runner 5 times in the theater.
Does it surprise you, I guess it does it if you've already paid 5 times to go see it, that it's the highest box office gross of an animated film ever already, Frozen.
Oh, God. How can
the
I...
biggest animated movie ever. And that includes Ratatouille, by the way.
How can I put it to you guys in a way that you'll understand? The snow glows white on the mountain tonight, not a footprint to be seen. A kingdom of isolation.
He knows every word.
I can sing that
wow.
song. It's horrible.
Do you want to build a snowman, Patton? Do you?
Do you want to go and play? I don't see you anymore. You close the door. It's like you've gone away.
It
used to be best buddies, but now we're not. I wish you could tell me why. Do you want to build a snowman?
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Go away, Anna. Okay, bye.
The Patton Oswalt one-man Frozen show.
Yeah.
Come on. You do the whole movie on stage, Patton. There you go.
You know what?
I got to tell you, before you have kids,
yeah.
you say things like, I would never go see that movie 5 times. Then you have a daughter and you go, she wants to see it a 5th time? Absolutely. As long as
Absolutely.
It makes her happy.
And you know what? At least with Frozen, it's that it's the Lopez's who did Book of Mormon and Avenue Q. They did all the music, so all the songs are super catchy. So I can it's not torture. Like, thank God she wasn't into some of these you see these previews for these other animated movies.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Some of them are okay for adults and some of them are not at all.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh, please, I hope she doesn't want to go see the nut job. Please, God, please. Because you can just tell it's not going to be fun. And I have, you know, my friends all have boys. They all have, like, all their kids are boys, so they have to go see a lot of,
sure.
you know, I want to go see the squirrels because nut job means balls. Okay.
Well, you made the right choice, Matt.
Thank God, yes.
Hey, April Foolishness 2014 is going to be tomorrow night at the Shrine Auditorium. We're benefiting Fisher House and Cedars-Sinai NICU this year. Jim Jefferies is on the bill, along with Adam Carolla, Tim Minchin, Doug Benson, Eddie Iff, Taylor Williamson, Reggie Watts playing for us this year as well. And, of course, the great Patton Oswalt. Patton, we have one final pair of tickets to give away.
Hey, Bean, can I just tell you something that's disturbing before we give away that ticket?
Uh-oh. Do I want to hear this?
During the commercials, Patton leaned over to me and said, where are you guys doing that April foolishness? And I said, what do you mean you guys? I thought you were a part of it.
He's like, yeah, I meant us.
I just know that a car is picking me up. Look, guys, I am so sleep deprived. I am like basically, think of me as a trained bear that you're just pointing at things.
Okay, I got you.
And you go get in the put a treat in that car so he'll get in the car.
All right, well, think about this. The charities are the Fisher House, which is a VA house for families of vets.
Nice.
Put them up so that the families can visit while their loved one is in the hospital.
Amazing work.
And the
that's
other is
great.
The Cedars-Sinai NICU.
Yeah.
So, good. That's why you're doing
yeah.
it.
Right.
So, but also I'm doing it because I didn't get to do it last year because, again, schedule. Mm-hmm. I think I did it 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
That show is such a – that show was so – how can I put it? There's a lot of stand-up shows where the comedians just march out and they do their thing. This was so raucous and – kind of messy, but in a great way. You just do all this weird. It feels like it's going to come apart at any second.
Yeah, that's because it might.
Yeah, it was just really it kind of wakes you up as a comedian. Like, oh, I'm not just going out plowing through my 15. This is I better pay attention to what happened before me because I might need to talk about that because the crowd might still be talking about it because it's just comedians and then also just. You just freaks and weirdos that you have on your show that you'll it's
one of the most fun shows.
It is fun. Yeah.
And people do show up and all of them are there to have fun. It's not to see a certain person.
Yeah.
They're all there ready to laugh and just enjoy themselves.
Yeah. And it's also it's just on the edge of a glorious train wreck.
And yes. I love the being able to be a fly on the wall for the camaraderie between all you comedians, many of whom are friends and know each other. It's just fun for us to see you guys all hanging out. So listen, pick a number between 1 and 100, Patton.
Ooh,
that's
okay.
Going to be our caller number for tickets at 1-800-520-1067. The final pair of Kevin and Bean April Foolishness tickets between 1 and 100. Go.
Got it.
No, you're supposed to tell us.
Oh, I thought it was. Oh, sorry.
Higher? Lower? Higher?
28.
All right. Caller 28. You're going to win the tickets in the party bus section. We'll take a break. Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Patton's going to stick around. That's coming up next on K-Rock.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 751. Hold on for 1 second, please.
Hey, send Patton Oswalt back in, please.
His glasses are here.
Yes.
And
he's coming back.
And his tea is here, so I was guessing he's coming back.
Sorry.
He can't get far without his glasses. I know that.
Timothy Simon's in the next room, so I know him. I'm such a fan of his, so I was like in there talking.
How funny is Veep?
How funny
like
is
laugh
Veep?
Laugh out loud funny each and every week.
Here's what's amazing about Veep, is any of those guys surrounding Julia Louis-Dreyfus, any of those actors on any other show would derail the show and steal it. So the fact that she constantly wins back her own show from nothing but scene stealers.
Yeah, true.
Is just she's on this other level, and Timothy, who's going to be in next, is maybe the funniest douchebag I've seen on TV since the Hank Kingsley character on the Larry Sanders Show.
Oh, hey, now. I mean,
he is on that level where
and
it's clear that they're like having fun cranking up his douchebagginess in the first season. Like, he's actually gotten worse as the show's gone on.
That show is populated with unlikable characters, really, on every level. And it's just spectacular.
Oh, God. There's a thing I can't repeat it. There's a line I can't repeat it. Sorry.
Did you just spend 30 seconds telling us that there's
a line you can't say?
There's so many lines. It is just, it's vulgarity on this level where it's like song lyrics almost.
Yeah, yeah.
Where you almost can't be like you miss how filthy the show is because it's like they're singing almost. That's how beautiful it is.
We often throw around here, you like sex? You like to travel? She's talking to him?
Good
yeah, that's
God.
Like, that's one of our favorite things.
That comes back Sunday night, Veep. Very good. If you haven't seen it, it is awesome.
It's great. Timothy Simons is going to be joining us in studio coming up after the top of the hour. First, though, time for another look at Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph with Patton.
God. All right. Oh, great news for you, Bean. You'll be happy to know that Willie Nelson got his armadillo back.
Oh, yeah. Great news.
What happened to the armadillo?
He was stolen.
Bean knows
Only
that.
Bean would know this
He was
story.
Stolen. His armadillo was stolen like a month ago. I just figured I thought he was left for dead.
I thought this was drug slang. You're not an actual armadillo.
Willie got his armadillo
he
back.
He got his armadillo back. If you don't know
what first.
Yeah, apparently Willie has a stuffed armadillo that serves as his onstage mascot, and it was kidnapped
from a Las Vegas area show on Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
The armadillo.
Wait, stop. Willie Nelson's armadillo was kidnapped.
It's like we're playing Mad Libs. Right, I need a famous person.
This is literally
and
like
an animal.
Yeah, if you had like Judd Apatow in a game show, go, I'm going to pitch you a movie, and you got to tell me how you would do it. Here, Willie Nelson's armadillo, someone from Vegas. Go.
Okay. Well, I'm happy to hear the update, Ralph.
Seth
thank
Rogen
you.
Plays the private detective who tracks it down. It's like it's a mad world.
It
only,
is.
Only think armadillo instead of treasure.
The armadillo. Pizza first.
Burst.
The armadillo named Old Dillo.
Wow. Put a lot of work into that.
Vanished during a meet and greet.
Wait. The armadillo was having a meet and greet?
No, Willie was having a meet and greet.
All right.
And apparently an audience member swiped Old Dillo. And the marketing director for the Westin Hotel where Willie was playing. He's playing at the Westin,
Westin
now? Is that not really Vegas proper, is it?
No.
It's sort of on the outskirts. Got a call in the middle of the night saying Old Dillo's missing.
Oh,
that's on you.
No.
Someone's taken Willie Nelson's armadillo. Now Liam Neeson has 17 hours. I'm not a rich man.
I have a very unique set of skills to help me find Dillo's.
The next morning...
How do you hide something like that when you're stealing it?
Next morning, the director of marketing was outside the hotel when an unidentified, apologetic man drove up and handed him a shoebox.
What?
What's in the box? What's in the box? Inside it was Gwyneth Paltrow's head. No, inside of it was...
John Dillo has the upper hand. John Dillo has the upper hand. Stay back.
What's in the box? Inside the shoebox was the, you guessed it, the armadillo. And it was safe and sound and sent to Willie in California. So the Old Dillo and Willie have been reunited.
So the guy had a twinge of conscience and said, I got to take it back.
I can't keep Old Dillo.
I'm sorry.
What's Willie
going
to do with that Old Dillo?
I was drunk last night. I took the Dillo. I'm sorry.
I apologize. We are one D away from making this a very different story.
Yep.
Willie's dildo was stolen during a meet and greet. Oh, man. All right, it's all over.
What?
Oh, in a year or so. David Letterman, of course, announced yesterday saying goodbye after 32 years in the late night business.
Patton Oswalt's taken over. I don't know if you heard that.
Yeah, I heard.
Somewhere Joe Piscopo is going, well, it's up to me now.
Yeah. Let me cross that off the list of bits I can do tonight at the Orleans Hotel where I'm headlining. Yeah. It was Mike Mills of REM who broke the news on Twitter. Did
wait,
you know that?
What?
What?
Yes.
How did he know?
That's like, wait a minute.
What?
Apparently he was performing last night.
He was sitting there with the band, yeah.
On the show, and so he was back there when Letterman broke the news, and he got to his phone first and tweeted it out. It's like The Rock telling us that Hussein was captured.
This whole entertainment report is Mad Libs.
Yeah, well, Howard Cosell broke the news of John Lennon's death.
That's right. Remember on Monday Night Football.
He was the guy that told the nation.
Wow.
John Lennon. Sorry, I can't do a good Howard Cosell. It sounded just like Morgan Freeman. John Lennon just shot.
John Lennon has the upper hand.
He was shot by a lima.
No word on who's going to take over, but Craig Ferguson's believed to have first right of refusal to replace Letterman at the 11:30 time slot, and I think he's earned it. He does a good job on his show.
Yeah.
I like him.
He's charming.
Yes.
He, and that's a fun show to do. He that's the closest show to the way that the Tonight Show used to be in the 60s, where he doesn't have blue cards. He just sits and talks to you.
Yeah.
And it just feels like people hanging out. And,
yeah.
And he's, you know, he's not in any kind of rush.
Right.
And
he's also super likable.
Oh, yeah. And he's super smart.
Yeah.
Super smart.
I liked about Letterman, too, that he didn't seem like he was following a preset schedule of questions to ask any guest that came out.
Exactly.
He would just
talk
to them, and whatever he felt like talking about, that's what you ended up talking about as a guest, you know?
Yeah, his interviews were either super funny or super uncomfortable, but funny because they were like the Paris Hilton one where he would not talking about
Princess. That was awesome.
he was such
a dick to her,
so
and it was great.
It was great.
And reached a point, I think about 15 years ago, where he just stopped giving an F.
I don't care. I'll ask whatever I want.
He just
what do I
going,
care?
So At 67, he said he's going to spend more time with his child, who I believe is 2. No, he's got a young kid at him, like 8 or something.
I don't know.
Harry's 8 or something now. Yeah. But at 67, I guess it's time to start spending time with your 8-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to that.
Spending time with my 8-year-old when I'm 67.
Could you empty Daddy's pee cup? These are memories we'll cherish these forever. Go empty Daddy's pee cup, please.
Time to change my bag.
Oh, my shins are killing me.
Celebrity birthdays today. David E. Kelly, writer, producer. One time he was the king of television, David E. Kelly. Yeah. Everything he touched turned to gold.
What happened?
He got crappy.
Oh.
He's 58 years old today.
He had the practice, right? And Boston.
Well, he started with Ally McBeal, right?
Ally McBeal, TV empire.
L.A. Law, he was his. Yeah. And
big names.
Now he's not doing so well. Mm. Did you ever see the pilot for that Wonder Woman show that he did?
I only saw little bits of it online. They did
the whole
thing.
It's magical.
Oh, boy. Yeah. Okay. Oh, dear.
It'll make you want to steal old Dillo. Hugo Weaving.
That's going to become slang for everything.
That's right.
How was that movie you saw? It'll make you want to steal old Dillo's, almost like.
Hugo Weaving's 54 years old today. Comedian David Cross celebrates his 50th birthday today.
Oh, wow. So, like, 3 more years for him.
Ben
what does that mean? He's my buddy, and I'm being a dick.
Okay. Robert Downey Jr. is 49.
Hmm.
That's a good-looking 49.
Wow. Yeah. That's a ridiculously good-looking 49.
How do you do that much drugs and look that good at 49?
I look 10 years older than him.
I know.
You need to really get into drugs.
Does anyone have a bump?
You've never woken up in someone else's strange living room.
No, I know.
And you don't look like
that. You're
not
living, man.
Yeah.
That's unfair. Barry Pepper, he's a talented guy, 44 years old.
Barry Pepper.
David Blaine is 41. James Rhoda.
Or is he?
That's right.
Sorry.
His age might disappear.
Yeah.
James Rhoda is 38 years old from Psych, of course. Natasha Lyonne is 35. Jamie Lynn Spears is 23. I'm going to cross her name off this list.
Yeah.
Celebrity birthday.
Yeah. Shouldn't be on that list.
Anymore. And Austin Mahone, heartthrob Austin Mahone.
Now, Patton's got to be a Mahoney, right?
What? Who's this? Are you making this up? This is a real person?
No, and I'm proud that you don't know.
Who is he? 5. She's not ready for the teen idol phase yet.
Oh, is he a singer?
He's another singer who was discovered on YouTube a la Justin Bieber, and now he's being groomed as the next.
Give your daughter 6 years, and you'll be right.
So, 10 years, we can be expecting him crashing Lamborghinis and fighting with paparazzi.
And peeing in buckets in restaurants.
Throwing eggs.
Kitchens. Yes, we're looking forward to it. I'm Ralph Garvin. I walk the showbiz beat.
Pat, thank you for coming in. We always love having you.
Thanks for having
me. You're the best.
See you tomorrow.
Yay.
You're going to be there tomorrow, right?
I'm pretty sure.
You know where you're going?
He said, where are you doing it?
Where are you doing it?
He said, where are you doing it?
Where's that show you guys are doing?
That's the Shrine.
Who's on that show?
Latest from Coldplay on the world-famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ. That is called Magic. It is 9 minutes after 8 o'clock.
I think he sounds sadder now than he did before the divorce, don't you?
I think he probably recorded that before.
I don't know, man.
Well.
Sounds to me like someone should check in on Chris Martin. He's taking it pretty rough.
All right.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here for a Friday morning. Tim Simons joins us in studio, ladies and gentlemen. He is the biggest dick on television. He plays White House liaison Jonah Ryan on Veep, which returns this Sunday on HBO at 10:30. Hi, Tim.
Hi, how's it going?
That guy from that show.
I'm that guy from that show.
When you play a character like Jonah, who is universally ridiculed and despised, what is that like for the actor who looks just like that character when he's walking around the street?
Oddly, it goes better than you'd think. I don't get a lot of people coming up to me and telling them how much they hate me.
Is that right?
Oh, yeah, good. They understand the difference that you're acting.
They say, I hate your character?
What I get is people coming up and wanting to commiserate about a Jonah they work with.
Right.
That's what I get. They're like, oh my God, hey, stop. There is this guy that I work with. That's what I get.
Right. For
nice.
People who haven't seen Veep yet, describe the series and then where you fit into it.
The series is about the vice president, played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and about sort of how the proximity to power, basically being second in command, is a completely powerless.
It's a crappy job, and she's just a horrible mess of a person.
She's a horrible mess of a person.
You don't have to be really good president.
Not at all.
So it's about her trying to navigate her way toward power, because nobody wants that job. So it's about her trying to navigate her way to power while in a completely powerless position. And I play, at least for the first few seasons, I'm sort of like the face of the White House. You never see the president. You only see me delivering messages.
They send
from
you.
The
White House sends you to the vice president.
Yeah.
And then she has a lot of disdain for you as well.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Everybody in the vice president's office does, because you do nothing but flaunt that you're better than they are because you work at the White House and they don't.
Yeah. It's a completely baseless opinion. I have no actual skills. No actual skills, but I come in and I'm from the White House. So it just immediately means I'm better than you.
Right, of course. Now, when people come up to you and say, I have a Jonah in my office, what are the characteristics of a Jonah?
Snobby.
Snobby, full of themselves, a brown noser.
Oh,
like,
yes.
Incredibly, incredibly deferential to those above them, but very snide and very... And very mean to those below them.
Sure.
And I think just generally obnoxious.
Right.
Yeah.
Veep takes the insult name-calling to levels that have never been seen on television before. Like, I feel like you must have a special branch of writers at that show who do nothing but come up with unbelievable, filthy, foul things to call one another.
We do. They all have sort of particular insult talents.
Oh, is that right?
Some are better at the wordplay, like the alliteration insults, and some are better at like the just sort of like the blunt force. like Ian Martin, who is like a salty old Cockney guy. He's the one that will come up that will just, he might not be the wordplay guy, but when he hits you with one, it's foundation shaking.
It hurts. You had done some acting before V, but this was the breakthrough role for you.
Yeah. I had sort of been at it, you know, for like 12 years or whatever. I had done theater in Chicago, and I came out here and I was acting in commercials and stuff like this. But this was the first like big job. In fact, my first television job.
What'd you have to go through to get it? How do you get on a show like V?
Just make lots of auditions?
You
make a lot of poor choices through most of your 20s.
Okay, good.
That's the first step. And then you move to Los Angeles
in a
bad way. You don't know anybody.
Okay, good.
Okay, so those are your first two steps. So any young actors out there.
I feel like a lot of people have taken that route.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
And then I was in a commercial and the casting director saw the commercial and thought it was funny. And I had started going in for like small parts here or there in her office, and then like the fifth or sixth time I went in, it was for this one, and it just worked out. But the process was audition with them, and then I went in and I auditioned with Julia and Armando and Anna sort of in a small room, and then the next time was for HBO, like at the actual corporate office.
Wow.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Yeah.
And what did you think of Julia Louis-Dreyfus when you met her? Because we, you know, have all been watching her on TV forever, and we know she's a genius.
She was right off the bat amazing. Like right off the bat was an incredibly like collaborative and warm person. You know, I mean, like she's an icon, so you sort of immediately like get very nervous around her.
But right.
She's very good at diffusing that. And so right off the bat in this like small room in this casting place, you just end up sort of improvising with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, which is a pretty amazing thing.
The job that you were going for is a pretty insulting person. I mean, did you have to insult her and be snobby toward her and all that, put her down and all of that?
I did, yeah.
That's a weird dynamic.
It's a weird thing to walk in there like as an actor who has never had a job of note.
Right.
And all of a sudden you have to be high status to Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
who, by the way, has won Emmys for three different characters that she's played on television. That's how good she is.
She now has more, I think, nominations and wins than Lucille Ball.
Oh, my
wow.
God.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. Now, you are so good at that role. Did they just keep making it worse, as Patton suggested, because you're so good at it?
I mean, so awful. I will never say anything that nice about myself. So if it's gotten worse, it's just because they kept having better ideas.
Yeah. Well, the show is returning for its new season. This is season 3 of Veep on HBO this Sunday night with Tim Simons, our guest here on the Kevin Beach Show. Tony Hale is so great on that show. Anna Chlumsky, we've had both of them on to talk about it. Matt Walsh was just in here recently to talk about the show. Just a great, great cast. A great, great show. We'll talk more about Veep and also the new film Draft Day, which comes out a week from today, that Tim is also also in when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Got a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup for you coming up next, and more Arctic Monkeys tickets. Congratulations to Mike Esparza from Azusa. That's a lot of Z's and a lot of S's. He's just won front row seats to see the Arctic Monkeys, of course, coming to Staples Center. Tickets go on sale this morning at 10. We got more you can win coming up. Right now, actor Tim Simons in studio with us from the show Veep on HBO, returning for season 3 this Sunday. And Tim, I can't believe we forgot to ask you this on the air last time, but we asked you off the air if the real Vice President, Joe Biden, is a fan of the show. I would imagine he would crack up at seeing what you guys portray the vice presidency to be like.
He seems like a pretty easygoing guy. Mm-hmm. And from what we understand, he loves the show. Julia has actually had lunch with him.
She has?
Yeah, she like actually went to the White House and had lunch with
him. Because there's a difference between liking a show and making it and thinking it's funny. And they're actually portraying your office as the most meaningless office on the planet.
Yeah. And I think from what I understand, when she went there, people would come out and introduce themselves like, I'm the Sue.
Have you guys done events in Washington, D.C. where you've gotten a chance to meet a lot of real-life people who work inside the Beltway?
We have. We've sort of had a lot of set visitors just because we shoot in Baltimore, so we've had a lot of people that have come down to set just who are interested in it. And we did a lot of, like, trips up to D.C. for research when we were first when we were filming the pilot and when we were filming the first season. We would kind of get up there a lot. But I haven't much in the last, like, in the last season or so, I haven't, only because we've just been kind of buried shooting.
Right.
You know,
right.
But yeah, we did get up a lot when we first got out there.
Boy, does Selena want to be president. Man, is that all she thinks about from the minute her eyes wake up in the morning.
Boy, do you not want Selena to be president, though, at the same time.
You know, it's funny. Outwardly, I feel like she has like a pretty good outward appearance. Like, you know, the public persona is pretty good.
Right.
It's the private stuff.
Yeah. When you close the door.
Yeah.
But don't you think that's true of most of our politicians, probably?
It is. We've talked about this before. Like, anybody that actually wants to be president should never get to be president.
Yeah.
Like, that is like, you have to be a complete sociopath to want that job.
Yeah. But that's a great point.
Yeah.
And then the vice presidency is even worse.
Well, let's face it,
you might one day be president.
You only get selected to be vice president if you can bring some votes to the table. That's it. It's basically what state are you from is all you need to become vice president these days, right?
Yeah. If you're from the Northeast, you need to just get somebody from the South in vice president.
Which is so stupid, by the way, because do you know of any regular, honest-to-goodness voters who vote based on what state the vice president is from? Like, really, can it really make that much of a difference?
I don't know. They're just looking for the thinnest of edges, I guess.
It must, though, because they keep doing it, and they do. They seems like they poll everything possible.
Yeah. No, you're right. You're right. All right, so Veep is Sunday night, HBO, and then next Friday, you know, I got another big day for you, Tim. You're going to be appearing in Draft Day.
Yeah.
Talk about another great cast.
Yeah.
Kevin Costner, Jennifer Garner, Dennis Leary, Terry Crews, Chadwick Boseman, Frank Langella. Oh. This is insane. Tell us about Draft Day.
It's a movie that takes place all – about Kevin Costner plays the GM of the Cleveland Browns, and it takes place all on draft day. They find themselves with the number one pick in the draft, and it's about everything that goes into that. It's really fun, and we just saw it a couple weeks ago. And it's sort of like, whether or not you're a football fan, like, football fans will definitely
like it.
Right.
They'll freak out. Yeah.
They'll freak out. But I think even people that don't like football can really find, like, it's just a really good story.
It's a fascinating process.
Yeah, it's like watching somebody play chess or something. You know, I mean, there's so many moves to make. You're just basically trying to, you know, beat the stock market or any number of things where you're trying to outsmart everybody else going for the same prize.
Yeah. And it sounds like there was a lot of negotiations because, you know, we were using actual NFL teams and there are a lot of trades being made. And I think that they had to do a lot of work to make sure no team seemed like they were coming out on the bad end of a deal.
Is that right?
Yeah. Like, you know, some teams are just like, I'm not getting involved at all. Like, we're not going to be in at all. And I think other teams, it was just a big negotiation.
Just make sure we don't look bad.
Yeah. Like, they didn't want to, like, even in a movie, like in the fake world.
Right.
They didn't want to come out the loser.
That's weird.
It is funny in the trailer when the guy, I can't remember who he is, who's answering the door, he's waving around his Dallas Cowboys Super Bowl ring. I'm thinking, yeah, that seems like a Cowboys fan.
they haven't won
the Super Bowl in a long time, but they certainly never let you forget that they have won them, at least.
Yeah.
A lot of teams, you know, other teams haven't. But yeah, Cleveland Browns are in it. Buffalo Bills are in the trailer, too. I can't wait to see this. It's so rare that a movie comes along that you feel like is going to be set in a world you've never seen on screen before.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny. I was talking to the writers about why they wrote it, and they were like, all of the elements are there. I can't believe nobody has written the story before, because all the elements are there. It's like there are like life-changing events, financial gigantic changes. There's a ticking clock in it.
Yeah.
There's a built-in ticking clock. And so I don't know. It's a really great story.
What role do you play?
I play Marks the Scout.
The Scout.
I play one of the scouts in the war room. So whenever you're in the war room, I'm in there. And it's sort of like a three-headed scout. Team. There's sort of like the old salty coach who yells at everybody. There's the former quarterback, and trying to figure out where I fit into a football world is a little bit harder.
So right.
Thank God for sabermetrics. That's what, just the nerd stuff. I'll just do the nerd stuff.
I can't imagine how tough it must be to try to evaluate college players to try to guess which ones are going to be effective in the NFL. I mean, it's almost impossible because most of them are going to be busts.
Yeah. And, you know, I was able to sit down with the director of player personnel and the assistant GM, who I believe is now the GM of the Cleveland Browns, just to talk to him about that process. And it's not that it's mostly guesswork. I mean, it's just like they can look at fundamentals and they can look at like the intangibles that they look out for, whether it be toughness or speed. Like I would ask them those sorts of questions.
Right.
What's the thing that you look for? But ultimately, really, we're just like, you just have to draft who will think
you'll like
fit
in. It's like
a gut.
It's really just guessing.
It's kind of just guessing.
Because when Moneyball came out, everybody was like, oh, yeah, they're trying to apply at least some math or science to this process to figure out who might do well.
Yeah.
But in football, it's just you hope.
You just hope.
Yeah. That's crazy with as much money as at stake.
Yeah.
Before we let you go here, Tim, you had some scenes with Kevin Costner. He's a mystery to most of us. He's had such an unusual career. What'd you make of him?
I actually loved working with him. Like, I was nervous about it just because, I mean, he's a gigantic movie star and has been for a very long time. But I found him to be sort of very, like the very first thing he said to me was, hey, man, how's it going? Let's get everybody together. Let's go rehearse in my trailer. Like, right off the bat, was like, let's get it together. Like,
were you thinking I might need to take my pants off?
Yeah.
Were you thinking that at that moment?
I just showed up without my pants on, just in case.
Did he have all those Dancing with Wolves Oscars in his trailer just to make sure everybody saw him?
They were scattered. I was tripping over them. He made me hold them. Whenever you see a shot in the movie of that's from the shoulders up, I'm holding Dancing with Wolves Oscars. He just really... It was great. Like right off the bat, he was like, I want you to be able to find whatever moments in these scenes that you want. So when we're rehearsing, if you find something, like shout it out, like let you know, I want you to be able to find your performance. I found him to be a really great and sort of collaborative castmate. He was great.
Well, it's a great topic for a movie. And as we mentioned, it has such a tremendous cast. We can't wait to see that. It's called Draft Day. It opens up everywhere next Friday. And Veep returns to HBO for season 3 this Sunday night at 10:30. So excited about that. Tim, I'm so happy we got a chance to meet you. And I hear you're coming to Foolishness tomorrow just by coincidence. So I guess we'll see you there.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see you guys there.
Okay.
I'm really excited about it.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
I am starting to think this internet is going to catch on.
You think?
I really am starting to think that it's getting some traction, I think. And that's why every week we present for you the best of the internet. We call it Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
Yeah! Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
What's up, El Rey? Dave King of Mexico.
The internet may be catching on, but that theme song is... dropping off.
I agree with
you
guys on that.
Yeah.
Dave, we don't have audio because it's mostly just people splashing around in the ocean, but why so many shark videos this week?
I don't know. They just all came at once and they're all freaky.
Yeah, well, yeah. if you're in a freaking tiny little, what do you call
it? Hey, kayakers.
Kayakers.
Don't mess with sharks.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one video that there are three different shark videos in the Internet Roundup, and they're definitely all worth watching. One, a guy catches a shark with a fishing pole.
A hammerhead shark.
A hammer that pulls him 11 miles. He goes for an 11-mile ride being dragged by a shark. That's one of the videos. The one that will blow your mind, and thank God they slow it down so you can see what actually happens, is this guy is reeling in a fish, and as the fish is between the ocean and the boat, a shark jumps up from the water and steals it right off the lure.
What a burn.
It's such a big fish, too.
Thank you very much.
I'll take
that.
Dinner.
Yeah.
You're, nope.
Thanks for catching it for me.
Yeah.
All right. The first video that we're going to play some audio for you is called Instant Karma. This happened down in Florida, and this one has actually proven to be very controversial. I think a lot of people like me hate both of the people involved in this video. there's a guy who's tailgating this woman who's driving down the road in Florida. Now, she is going 60 miles an hour, but she's also in the fast lane. And he is on her ass for what seems like forever. Then eventually he decides he's going to go around her. And when he does, she films him flipping her off. What happened next? What happens next is why it's called instant karma. He immediately hits a patch of something. His truck spins out. He ends up on the side of the road. I mean, a very potentially serious accident. I don't know if he was hurt or not, but she is so delighted to see him crash out after he flips her off.
That's what you get. All on video, buddy.
Yeah, that's what you get.
Shouldn't she be arrested, though, for filming while she's driving in a vertical direction?
I don't know that that's
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know where.
Is that against Florida? The law?
It should be.
Yeah.
Anyway, what, Dave? You going to say something about
my
her?
My only problem with her is that she didn't stop and call 911 or anything. Like, I would have been happy to, like, oh, you're a dick for following me, but hey, help the guy out. You know, help a brother out. Call authorities, and then take off. You know, like
I mean, it's a bad accident. This guy, there's no question, he
wrecked
got hurt.
His car.
Safety in Paradise is the name of the X video. This is what's finally going to get us to be interested in watching those air safety videos that you have to sit through every single time you get on a flight.
I would turn my phone off. I would turn my iPad, my everything that I had, take my headphones off, and I would pay very close attention.
This is from Air New Zealand, and they have basically, they've gotten all sorts of Sports Illustrated swimsuit models, past and present. Christy Brinkley is in it, Chrissy Teigen, Hannah Davis, Jessica Gomez, all of them. Just the hottest chicks in the world telling you what you should and shouldn't do on a plane.
Any loose items you might have need to be tucked safely under the seat in front of you. If the seatbelt sign lights up, nip back to your seat straight away.
Dancing girls, hulas, all sorts of great stuff.
I will do whatever you say.
I am not a fan of the positive tickets that you get. Every once in a while you hear about a police department will go on a campaign where they'll pull you over and just say, hey, I just wanted to say nice job. Thanks for driving so safely. But in this case, this is a cop who's pulling over people. He's not only congratulating them on having their seatbelts buckled or whatever, he's also giving them $100. And I think it might be worth being pulled over if you got a free hundy out of it.
You know why I pulled you over?
No, I have no idea.
You're wearing a seatbelt. I appreciate it. Because of that, this is for you.
$100?
$100. Thanks, buddy.
Really?
It's all you.
Good to see you.
Be safe.
He's so confused. That's the guy in the police car. He was confused. He's like, really? Well.
Yeah, this was all part of Break.com's Prank It Forward, where they're raising money for charity by every view of these videos. And they released them all on April Fool's Day. So instead of the crappy April Fool's jokes, they were doing positive
April Fool's jokes. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with the L.A. Beast, but apparently he makes his living by doing YouTube videos of eating and drinking crazy things. Like, he'll sit down. Lisa, this is going to make you gag a little when I tell you this.
It's
like,
going to make her gag a lot.
He'll sit down and eat 60 Reese's peanut butter cups at a time, for instance.
Oh, my God.
Or
really?
30 hard-boiled eggs. I mean, this guy is, when it comes to food, he is a beast. And this time he decided to drink a gallon of Tabasco sauce. Not a bottle. A gallon. Spoiler alert, he drank about 7/8 of a gallon of Tabasco sauce.
And then what happened,
and
Dean?
Then he gave it back.
And then he gave it back.
He kindly gave it back. And you don't want to watch that. And yet you need to watch that.
It's the habanero flavored gallon of Tabasco challenge. Feels like my stomach is a furnace right now. I feel like I'm going to throw up all over the place.
All right. I gotta tell you. I gotta tell you, honestly. It's one of the grossest things I've seen. But the amount that comes out has to be record breaking. It has to have set some kind of record.
God.
Like, don't shake your head no, Lisa. Watch it.
They try to calm him down by throwing a gallon of milk at him.
Yes. Could you guys drink even a spoonful of Tabasco sauce? I mean, this is a super hot sauce, too. All right, here's a video that has caused a little bit of chaos in the office. Ralph hates it so much. Dave, explain to us why we should love Bane Cat.
Well, it's, you know, it's self-explanatory. It's a cat that's dressed as Bane, and he wrecks havoc on his owner.
He's got that mask over his face, the Bane head, and the Batman.
Why don't you ever listen?
Or perhaps he's wondering why someone would give him a treat before throwing him into that cage.
Peanut, you know I have to take him to the vet.
Do you feel in charge?
I'm the owner.
And this gives you power over me.
Come Look, on!
No one hates dressing up animals more than I do, but Bane Cat's kind of funny. Come
yeah.
on.
Yeah!
Here's the latest from the movie trailer voice drive-thru prank. We did one of these last year, too. This is a guy who's got one of those big voices that you hear in the you know the theaters before the movies. And he's at a drive-thru, a fast food restaurant drive-thru. And he's basically doing the movie act for people who are pulling through the window. And you can imagine how surprised they are to hear their orders repeated back to them.
Can I have a quarter-pound burger?
She wanted a quarter-pound burger, but she could have had the whole pound.
I'll have a chocolate milkshake.
Her chocolate milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. Would you like fries with that shake?
I think so.
Your food will be at the next window, fast and furious.
And finally, on this week's edition of the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup, while we're talking about trailers, our friends from Honest Trailers are back. What with Game of Thrones returning for a new season this weekend, it's time to learn what's up with that show.
Watch as these heroes struggle to end the reign of King Justin Bieber.
Leave her face. I like her pretty.
God, if he doesn't die this season, I'm going to kill him myself. Hate that kid.
So you can see all these videos. Plus, Kevin, you have a brand new video on the Roundup this week, your Coachella video. You want to tell us about that real quick?
I do, yeah. I used Fatboy Slim, who's playing this year, Eat, Sleep, Rave, Repeat, the Calvin Harris remix, and just put a bunch of highlights of Coachella. And
it'll get you pumped because that's next weekend, of course. So
it is.
Get you excited for that. You can see all these videos and so much more at KevinandBean.com or KRock.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:55.
Kevin, your favorite TV show ever premieres tonight on the National Geographic Channel. There's certainly nothing louder than Showdown of the Unbeatables.
It's a terrible title.
Yeah, it's a great title.
But, man, does it look good.
You put Showdown in any title, I'm probably watching that show.
They blow stuff up. That's what I know.
Anytime there's a showdown, I'm there.
They sure do, and it sure is loud. The host of the show, Brian Unger and Zane Lamprey, join us in studio coming up next here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's happening?
Before I get to showbiz news, I do want to give some tickets away. I think this is my last five pairs of tickets I'll be giving away to the premiere of Transcendence.
Yay!
Movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, April the 18th. You, however, if you're one of the lucky callers, we'll be able to attend the premiere of Transcendence Thursday, April the 10th at the Westwood Bruin Theater. Transcendence, a story of a scientist who knows he's going to die, and so with the help of his wife and some other co-workers, he transplants his consciousness, his mind, into a computer. Unfortunately, this gives him access to power beyond his wildest dreams, and soon he becomes unstoppable and just a bad dinner guest, quite frankly. Great cast. You've got Paul Bettany, Morgan Freeman, Rebecca Hall, and the great Johnny Depp starring in Transcendence. I want to give these tickets, since they are to the premiere, to a real Johnny Depp fan. So here's your trivia question. One of my favorite performances of Johnny Depp's, I mean, he's so great because he does so many brave, ballsy performances on film. You don't see a star of his caliber stretching usually as much as he does. I love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, one of my favorite performances of his, where, of course, he plays a thinly veiled version of the legendary gonzo journalist Hunter S. Thompson. However, the character in the movie is not named Hunter S. Thompson. What is the character in the movie, and also, of course, the book of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas, of the autobiographical character in that book and movie? I need the name of that character.
Adele Dazeem.
Not Adele Dazeem, I guarantee you. Call me
Ryan
now.
Ryan Seacrest,
if you know the answer, 1-800-520-1067. Call now. First five people with the correct answer of Johnny Depp's character in that film, you will get a pair of passes to the premiere of Transcendence.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
He is an actor. It's not even a character. It's just another actor.
Oh.
Now, Leonardo DiCaprio, he had the wooden hand, right? He was the guy.
That's correct. That's accurate, yes. Okay.
A lot of people talk about James Franco and his dating habits this week because it was revealed on the internet that he apparently tried to chat up a 17-year-old Scottish girl who came to see his play of Mice and Men in New York City. They met at a meet and greet afterwards, and according to the screenshots that were leaked on the internet, there was some flirting going on, and he asked, should he get a room? It looks like there was sexy time in their future if James Franco had his way. Now, once again, I want to put a caveat on this that whatever you may think of it, creepy or not creepy, the age of consent in New York State is 17. So had anything happened, it would have been legal. wouldn't be like he's having sex with a minor, at least by New York State rules.
Okay.
And 17 is very young, and I get that, and I am the father of a daughter, so I can appreciate that more than you can imagine. But also, have you seen this girl? She's hot.
I haven't seen her. Can I go look her up on Instagram?
Yeah, Lucy Clodie? C-L-O-D-E, I believe is her last name. Anyway, so a lot of people were talking about it. Some people were saying, is this just a publicity stunt? Because in his next film, the trailer dropped the same day as this story, he plays a creepy soccer coach who has an inappropriate relationship with an underage member of a soccer team.
Interesting.
Now, is that all part and parcel of this? Or did he really hit on the team? Well, he was on Live with Kelly and Michael this morning. And he talked about what happened. In fact, he brought it up. And I was surprised at his candor.
Really?
In this conversation.
You know, I'm embarrassed. And I guess I'm just a model of, you know, how social media is tricky. You know, it's a way people meet each other today. But what I've learned, I guess just because I'm new to it, it's like you don't know who's on the other end. You meet somebody in person and you get a feel for them, but you don't know who you're talking to. And,
right.
You know, so I use bad judgment and I learned my lesson. But unfortunately, in my position, I mean, I have a very good life, but not only do I have to go through the embarrassing kind of rituals of meeting someone, sometimes if I do that, then it gets, you know, published for the world. So now, it's like doubly embarrassing.
So he copped to it.
That?
He did it, and he's embarrassed.
Hmm.
Actually shows a little remorse in a very sort of realistic way. It was no polished statement from his PR people or whatever. He just kind of copped to it and said he was embarrassed.
It's pretty hot.
It's pretty hot, isn't she?
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
I mean, 17 and all, I know, but still.
17 is legal, though.
In New York State, that's my point.
That's right.
But 17 is legal.
But 16 is legal in other states.
Is there an age at which it's too young?
Yeah, whatever the law says.
For a 40-year-old man to be
he's
trying to get into bed?
He's 35, first of all. And
there's a tiny bit of ick factor, right?
Oh, there's a big ick factor.
I think so,
okay.
Absolutely.
As long as we acknowledge it's legal, but it's still icky.
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay, we're all on the same page.
I'm just saying, if the state of New York thinks that a 17-year-old girl can make the choice for herself whether she has consensual sex or not,
right,
then
who are we to stand in the way of the law of the United States of America?
Oh, my God.
All right. Feeds off his meds again. His pancreas has got him by the throat.
That's a weird thing.
I know. Imagine how he feels. And we expected as much, but Captain America opened last night, late night, on many screens across this great country of ours. A massive number for midnight showings, $10.2 million made by Captain America already,
wow.
And that's just for the late night screening.
I bet it'll double that this weekend, Ralph.
You think? Is that your guess?
I do.
That's why you run show business, because of your unerring ability to prognosticate. Yeah, they're saying it could make as much as $90 million.
Wow.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Well, let's see if we have a trivia answer to my question.
We do.
George?
Yes?
Yes. What was the name of Johnny Depp's character in Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
It was Raul Duke.
Raul Duke. That's right. God, I love that movie. Hold on. We're going to give you a little details, but you're going to go see the premiere of Transcendence.
Did you just say yay?
I sure did.
Okay. Yeah, I think you're hopped up on the same stuff Raul Duke was in that movie. Hold on, George. We're going to give you all the details. Congratulations also to Eric and Brendan and Sandy and Ryan. You're all going to go see Transcendence. Congratulations. Today's celebrity birthdays, David E. Kelly, writer and producer, 58 years old today. Hugo Weaving, 54. David Cross is 50. Robert Downey Jr. turns 49 years old. Barry Pepper's 44. Magnus Svenningsson of the Cardigans. He's the bass player. You know the bass player.
Sure.
Of the Cardigans. He's 42. David Blaine. By the way, not nearly enough Cardigans tape for me today.
Yeah, well.
Didn't have time, but not nearly enough of that interview. We only get to talk about it like twice a year.
It may have been the worst interview that has ever happened on the Kevin DeBee Show.
I think so.
Yeah.
We'll give you a little Nina from the Cardigans in the interview next hour for you, Ralph.
Okay. It may be top three, I'm thinking. With Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Yeah, we threw him out.
And Anna Nicole Smith.
Yeah, she ran out.
Those are probably the three best.
But that one was entertaining, at least. The Anna Nicole interview was entertaining.
I think they're all entertaining for different reasons. We had Tony Orlando yesterday and the Cardigans today.
Yeah.
It really is a magical time of year.
We don't do good work.
David Blaine's 41 years old. James Rodet of Psych
is 38 years old. Natasha Lyonne is 35. And Austin Mahone celebrates his 18th birthday today. So I guess, you know, James Franco can have sex with Austin Mahone.
Sure.
In Dean's eyes, that would be legal.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
Oh, we finally got Lisa's attention. Got a little eye candy here in the studio. A lot of testosterone.
Just men come in. I'll pay attention.
The door. She's speaking about, Brian.
You are hot.
Yes. Wow. All of a sudden, so you just got so macho up
Zane
in here,
didn't it? Lamprey sat down, and things got weird.
They are the hosts of a show premiering tonight on the National Geographic Channel called Showdown of the Unbeatables. It's Brian Unger and Zane Lamprey, ladies and gentlemen. Hi, guys.
Hey, thanks for having us in here today.
Well, it's our pleasure. I mean, it kind of seems like a dream come true of every 4-year-old boy in the world to host this show. Am I right?
You got it.
That is a fact.
It is every kid's fantasy. Just like, you know, they lay awake at night and they think, I wonder what would happen if a flamethrower went up against like a fire engine. And now there's a show for that kid.
How did the idea come about?
Well, you know, we get all of our great television in this country from Japan.
Sure.
And so we got this show from Japan. And it's a very highly popular, top-rated show in Japan. They brought it here. In Japan, they actually wager on the showdowns. They have people bet real money.
Oh, that's awesome.
We're not allowed to do that here in the States. But
but we can while we watch.
We could. And Zane and I tried to. But
we do it.
A little bit.
We do.
And the show was, you know, Nat Geo decided to sort of repackage it for American audiences, and so now we have the showdowns here for your viewing
But it's
pleasure.
Kind of like a real-life Transformers. I mean, some of these machines that you guys will introduce us to are things that I don't think the general public even knows exist.
I mean, yeah, they're made specifically for their industry. So I guess on their own, they're really not that exciting sometimes, but when you pit them against something else, it makes it exciting. Like, for example, Brian Shaw, the world's strongest man, won the 2014 World Strongman Competition. He's about 6'8", 400 a million pounds.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's really big. And he takes on a robot.
He takes on a robot in fighting?
In a challenge. Well, that's the thing. It's there's the two inventions that go against each other. And human being, I guess, in this instance is the invention.
Sure.
And we have to figure out a way of look at that. My mic was in the wrong spot.
Yes, it was.
It was in my pants.
Yeah.
You have to figure out a way of creating a challenge that equally pits these things against each other, like a remote-controlled car and a hawk, or a 12-foot jackhammer against the world's toughest safe. And so the challenges, okay. That's the difficult point, and that's really for the producers to figure out. Brian and I, we just bring the handsome and the funny.
Sure, sure. Sure.
Who's handsome? Who's funny?
No, that's what I bring. And then Brian brings the smart stuff.
Brian drives you.
Every now and then Brian says something smart, and it just wows the audience.
tell me about the safe. I mean, because a company that's making an unbreakable safe has got to have spent a lot of time and money trying to make sure that nothing can get into that thing. But is there such thing as an unbreakable safe?
Well, I don't think anything's unbreakable. But this is there's two parts to each section of the show. There's three different showdowns, and before the showdown, there's a proving ground, and then Brian takes a team, and I take a team. So in the case of the safe versus it was called the Rock Breaker, right?
It was called the Rock Breaker.
The Rock Breaker. Mm-hmm. And I went and did a like kick the tires with the safe on the proving ground to show how much superior it is, I guess, to other safes in the world.
Okay.
And it was extremely impressive. And I didn't expect to be impressed by a hunk of metal, but I was.
But you are correct in that the entire reputation of the company is at stake. And
right.
these are products that are developed by families for decades and generations. And they have reluctantly come onto the show.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like a good plan by them.
Well, you know, Zane and I have called
by
it like...
By one, there is.
Yeah, I mean, if you win the showdown, it's like the ultimate waiting room video for your company. Yeah.
Okay.
It's
I can see that.
And if you lose, you say, why did I throw this giant apparatus on a trailer from Ohio to come out here on my own dime to lose?
The outcomes the outcomes of the showdowns are so unpredictable. We were wrong every time.
Is that right?
One of our favorites is the Pride of Sweden, the world's most powerful steamroller, is shipped all the way overseas, comes in, arrives on our shores.
Steamroller.
This thing is so unbelievable. Like the earth just shakes. You think it's an earthquake going up against a family-owned company in Brooklyn that makes memory foam mattresses. So we wanted to see if the steamroller could crush the memory foam mattress.
Uh-huh.
So you just have a family who staked its entire, you know, net worth on this mattress, and then the pride of Sweden, three guys who barely speak English, wearing
right.
wearing their little Black uniforms.
Coats, yeah. So who would you pick in that situation?
Well, what's the criteria? Does the mattress have to break?
It has to not come back.
Correct.
Perfectly. So it's a 12-inch mattress.
Perfectly.
It needs to not return to 12 inches. And this steamroller, not only is it the heaviest one, but it also has a vibrating mechanism. So it just shakes the earth underneath it and rolled over this mattress. So
it broke the runway where we were shooting.
Yes, it did.
Sweet. Oh, my God. Yeah.
I think we had to replace the runway.
Bet on the steamroller. Although for that family with the mattress, even if it didn't come back perfectly, I think they're safe because I'd still be like, that's not bad with the steamroller.
Right. Exactly.
Well, watch and see. We can't tell. It's called a non-disclosure. Jesus, they're pretty serious about it.
Because we all lie awake at night wondering, will this mattress stand up to a steamroller?
I was thinking that last night.
So you almost started a world war between the U.S. and Sweden to get it going, right?
We pretty much did.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of IKEA jokes being bandied about.
National Geographic Channel tonight. It's called Showdown of the Unbeatables. We have many more questions about many more battles with our guests. Brian Unger and Zane Lamprey will return in a moment here on KROQ. Brian Unger and Zane Lamprey in studio with us right now. The show is called Showdown of the Unbeatables. It's the loudest show you've ever seen, ladies and gentlemen.
It's explosive.
Love loud, love explosions.
And
love
it premieres
stuff on fire.
The Nat Geo channel tonight at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Series premiere. Hey, what kind of, how far back do you have to stand from some of these challenges? And what kind of safety equipment did you guys have to wear?
There are fire marshals that tell us where to stand. In every episode, there was always someone telling us where and how far back to stay.
Yeah, there's a law that you have to have like a safety officer on the premises for these productions. And wherever we stood, Zane and I felt like we were standing too close.
Yeah, I was going to ask if they were really ever completely wrong.
There was a moment we're shooting one thing,
it was the first day.
We shot this flamethrower versus a fire truck. The fire truck is the kind you see at the airport. It has the strongest nozzle on the planet.
Right.
It disperses this ungodly amount of water in like a second, and a flamethrower, a real one. And we suspended cars from the sky, basically cranes holding cars and ATVs. The flamethrower has to burn through the cables while the fire truck is trying to put out the flamethrower. And just as we were about to roll, the worst thunderstorm in SoCal history rolls in with lightning. So we have lightning, water, fire. I turn to Zane and I'm like, this is it. This is the end.
This is how you guys go out.
We're
all
dead.
This is the end of the world.
It literally looks like that on camera, too.
Everything with zombies.
Yeah.
And the director's like, this looks awesome on camera. Go, roll.
Oh, and I love when the public safety officer, I turned to him and I said, is this okay? And he was just some guy who works a lot for filming.
Right.
He knows he's never supposed to shut anything down. He just turned to us and he goes, I think we're good. Let's keep rolling.
And you immediately said, I want a different safety guy.
Yeah, totally.
Because that's absurd.
Now, these people who bring these amazing devices to you, the technology itself is exciting and fascinating and fun to watch. But I imagine some of those people would be kind of dry or take it so seriously that it would be, kind of hard for you to deal with them.
Yeah, do they get mad?
That's a euphemism for bad television. When they are that dry.
Oh, no.
It is about the people, because it's the people that pour the passion in about these things. They bring in their inventions and they're so passionate about it. But sometimes, they're not TV personalities. No. We need to get them to come out of their shell a little bit.
And guys know this, the drier they are and the more introverted and sort of myopic they are about their creation,
I don't even know what that word means.
Just stick with me. Zane. The more, the more obsessed they were with their inventions, the better they were for the show because they weren't on. They were just... There's not whatever's beyond nerd is what these people are. It's something else.
These people look backwards at nerds.
They couldn't have invented these things.
Nerds call
if
these
they
guys
had a
nerds.
Personality and dates.
They don't. I mean, they've never seen daylight, let alone the sun. I mean, they are wearing diapers. I don't know. They made out of Gore-Tex.
Where do you find them? Where do you find the guys that wear diapers?
Yeah.
Or whatever it is they do. Where do you find them? Where do you find?
They're just overgrown kids, you know, who just are fascinated by one teeny little tiny thing, and they've turned that into a giant industry. My favorite, we were laughing our butts off.
You could say asses.
Asses. Yeah. In California, we get, you know, we produce all the nuts pretty much for the United States. They're grown here in California.
Oh, I thought that was Florida.
And yeah, the land of fruits and nuts, right? That's what they call California. I remember this when I grew up in Ohio, they said that. But something about they have to harvest the nuts, and they use this thing called the tree shaker. And it's this giant, looks like a Batmobile.
I thought they called it the nut shaker.
The nut shaker.
Yeah.
And it goes and it grabs a hold of the tree and it shakes it 2,000 times per minute.
Oh my God.
And it just shakes the tree and all the nuts fall out of the tree and onto the ground. This thing, I've never known this thing existed. And the family that makes the nut shaker has been doing it for like 50 years here in California.
And they don't really have any competition or anything? It's just them?
They're the supreme nut shakers in California.
I want to be the supreme nut shaker.
And we had our nuts shaken, what? We got our nuts shaken for probably 4 hours.
Yeah, I've actually been married for several years, so I have
that's a lot of nut shaking.
You know, it's about the devices. It's about the products that they bring in.
All right, what does the nut shaker go up against?
It goes up against
it's the world's largest nut.
Nope. Zane's team is. I had the nut shaker.
Okay, you had the nut shaker.
It's a piece of rubber called Everstick. It's that thing that you put on your dashboard that you can stick your phone onto and it won't slide off.
Okay.
Yeah. I've seen that, yeah.
And so it seems like they took a giant table and they put all of these products on there, like a phone.
A toilet.
A toilet, a vase, a ceramic frog saluting us.
Sure.
And then the tree shaker comes in and just picks this table up by the center. The table was probably about what? 12 by 12.
Okay, a couple size of a ping pong table.
I love this because it's complete nonsense.
It's ridiculous.
You're
just
making crap up.
Making crap up.
That's
so
the point.
Dumb.
Because I love it.
If you do lose, you're like, okay, well, it really wasn't made to withstand
nut
that.
Like the people who have Everstick are like, we didn't really guard against that nut shaker.
Phone in your car. We don't really, what is this application?
But the outcome is truly, we could not predict one of the outcomes.
It sounds fascinating. Do you win anything if you win the competition?
Accolades.
Okay.
Yeah. You're playing the pack.
That's no, by the way.
And if you lose, you lose accolades.
You know what you lose is, I keep telling everyone who comes on the show, don't worry. The show will only be playing internationally and on every cruise ship and every plane in the world.
Right.
So don't sweat
in perpetuity.
No one will see it.
In perpetuity.
Don't even worry about it.
How many episodes are there of Showdown of the Unbeatables?
8 episodes.
Okay.
Three showdowns per episode, so there's 24 showdowns.
Wow, a lot of good stuff. All right.
Explosions.
That is tonight. It premieres at 9 o'clock on Nat Geo Channel. Brian, Zane, awesome to meet you guys. Good luck with the show. Thanks.
Cheers. Thanks all for having us.
Thank you, guys. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:39.
Got time for one more look at the showbiz beat. Here's Ralph Garman.
Before I get to showbiz news, let me give you a pair of tickets to see the majestic return of boxing at the Fabulous Forum.
Yay!
Great
bang,
fight.
Bang, 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 bang.
Great fight to kick things off with, too. Marquez versus Alvarado, May 17th at the Forum. Tickets are on sale right now. You can pick them up. Where do people go to get those tickets?
Box.
The ticket.
Ticketmaster!
Oh, thank you, Ticketmaster. As I mentioned, Marquez versus Alvarado, May 17th at the Forum. If you'd like to go, call me right now, 1-800-520-1067. Since May 17th is the date of the bout, how about caller number 17? That lucky caller will get a pair of tickets to go see Marquez versus Alvarado.
Box.
And they will box each other, Rodney. That's right. That's what boxers do. They box. Got it?
Bang, bang, box. Bang, 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 bang.
It was announced yesterday, before the show even aired, that David Letterman was announcing his retirement after more than 30 years in the late night business. He's not dying. He's just retiring. We first heard it from Mike Mills of REM. He was sitting in with the band. He broke the news first on Twitter, writing, "Dave just announced his retirement. #OMG. No, he didn't put that part. I did. Then media organizations of all kinds hopped on the story. It was in Variety before the show even aired, and it was all over Twitter, and the clip was put out before the show aired last night. But it's true, he said that he will step down sometime in 2015, and he mentioned that he called CBS
Honcho Les Moonves just before he stepped out on stage and told the audience what was happening.
That's not much of a heads up.
Well, they had talked about it, I guess, for a while. So he said, look, you know, I'm probably going to wrap it up sometime soon. But in terms of the actual announcement itself, Les heard it just before we did when Dave stepped out on the stage. And he was very kind. He thanked his crew and his loyal staff and us, the listeners. It was very touching.
Leslie, it's been great. You've been great. The network has been great. But I'm retiring.
This is really?
Yep.
This is true. This is, you actually did this?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Well.
And what this means now is that Paul and I can be married. We don't have the timing of this precisely down. It will be, I think, at least a year or so. But sometime in the not-too-distant future, 2015, for the love of God, yeah, in fact, Paul and I will be wrapping things up and taking a hike.
Taking a hike. That's cool.
Yeah, they're going to go hiking together. Who will replace Letterman is the question we'll be asked for the next year and a half. Craig Ferguson, of course, follows him on CBS. So he is certainly in the running. A lot of people draw attention to the fact that Conan O'Brien's contract with TBS expires also in 2015. How much would Dave like to pass the baton to the guy that Leno screwed over for The Tonight Show?
If Dave has any say in it, I bet he would enjoy that.
I'm guessing CBS will factor in his decisions. I'm betting they still want to be in the David Letterman business. He has a very successful
production company
called Worldwide Pants that works with CBS quite a bit. I believe they produced the Craig Ferguson show as well. So we'll have to wait and see. But 67-year-old Letterman recently passed Johnny Carson as the longest late-night host in TV history. So
wow.
He's got the record. Probably no one will ever touch it. So I can see why he would decide to hang it up and go spend some time with his young son, Harry.
I know it's too early to start getting excited about any of the names that are thrown around because they're just putting them all out there right now. But you got to think they'd love to have Jon Stewart, wouldn't you?
Sure.
I mean, wouldn't that just be a great fit?
Absolutely. Stephen Colbert's name's also been bandied about. Louis C.K. Neil Patrick Harris's name has been
interesting. I think he'd be excellent.
Who might be good too.
Might be interested in that slot. So we'll have to wait and see. Bryan Cranston has announced he is writing a memoir of his experiences on Breaking Bad.
Oh, that's fascinating.
That would be an interesting book.
Yeah.
He tells the New York Times that the book will be due out sometime next year. We'll tell the stories of my life and reveal the secrets and lies that I lived with for 6 years while shooting Breaking Bad. So I think that would be an interesting read.
Readings for losers.
Well, sure, there's that option. And James Franco got in a little trouble this week when he got very flirty with a 17-year-old girl from Scotland. Lucy Claude met James after his performance of Mice and Men there in New York City on Broadway. And she took an Instagram video of him. He said, oh, you have to tag me on that. And then they started chatting. And the next thing you know, James was asking, should I get a hotel room for us? When are you going to be 18? Not that that matters, because the age of consent in New York State is 17 years old. So Lucy was able to make a choice to sleep with him if she should choose to.
So she was flirting, he was flirting.
And she chose not to sleep with him, which is fine.
Right.
Probably a relief to some people who think the creepy factor of a 35-year-old man getting together with a 17-year-old girl is a little too much to bear.
Yeah.
But I was surprised that James Franco appeared on the Live with Kelly and Michael show, Michael Strahan and Kelly Ripa, and he was, I think, genuinely embarrassed by the incident and talked about the pitfalls of being a celebrity and using social media.
You know, I'm embarrassed, and I guess I'm just a model of, you know, how social media is tricky. You know, it's a way people meet each other today. But what I've learned, I guess just because I'm new to it, it's like you don't know who's on the other end. You meet somebody in person, and you get a feel for them, but you don't know who you're talking to. And,
right.
You know, so I use bad judgment, and I learned my lesson. But unfortunately, in my position, I mean, I have a very good life, but not only do I have to go through the embarrassing kind of rituals of meeting someone, sometimes if I do that, then it gets, you know, published for the world. So now, you know, it's like doubly embarrassing.
Yeah. But on the other side, sometimes you get to bone a hot 17-year-old.
Yeah, a lot.
So that works out.
By the way, you mentioned this earlier, Ralph. Certainly not written by a lawyer. It was really nice to hear somebody talk from the heart.
Genuine
And he meant it.
Well thought out comment about the whole situation. He meant it unless...
It was impressive.
It was a giant publicity stunt for his new movie, Palo Alto, where he plays an older man who has sex with a teenager. So, we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
This is... this is shocking that this record is held up for 50 years. But this week, in 1964, the Beatles accomplished something no other artist has ever done before or since. They held every slot in the top five on the Hot Billboard 100 list.
This year?
No, 1964.
Oh.
50 years ago, the top five records were all Beatles songs. And no one has ever done that before. It's kind of crazy when you think about it, to have all the top five hottest songs in the country all being from one artist.
It's way too splintered to be that way anymore, right?
Yeah, you would never see that. Actually, it was kind of a unique situation that made that happen in the first place, because Capitol Records turned down the first four Beatles singles that were released in the UK. They didn't want them.
Is that right?
So they released their choice for a single, I Want to Hold Your Hand. And then he had, Brian Epstein, the manager of the band, had sold off the other singles to other record labels in the United States. So they also released all those singles.
Kidding.
And that's why they were all in the top five at the same time. You'd never see
it. The Beatles arrived in America.
That's right, Rod.
Really changed.
It did change
our lives. I mean, look, you grew hair when the Beatles
were on television. We grew hair, right? We were all bald before.
Not sure you're adding to this conversation.
Yeah, started dressing cooler.
Yeah,
right.
They were cool. They used to wear real hot clothes.
Before all that happened, it was news about the Beatles.
Mm-hmm.
Was John F. Kennedy was
John Kennedy was not in the Beatles.
In a sad position.
I don't think you were held sad.
And then the Beatles arrived.
Would be dead.
And sort of changed everybody's lives.
Yeah.
Basically. Hey, the Beatles invented us. Let's just put it that way.
Okay. The Beatles invented us.
Hey, how about the Beatles?
Okay, all right. And while we're talking about music, Jack White has a new plan. He's going to produce the world's fastest record release.
The world's fastest record release?
Yes.
What does that mean?
On Record Store Day, which we all celebrate. We love Record Store Day.
We do love that.
I just wish I could find out more about Record Store Day somehow.
How much open up a blog.
I'll just open up a blog. On April the 19th at 10 a.m., Jack will take stage at his Third Man headquarters in Nashville and perform a live version of his new single, Lazaretto. It will be recorded.
Right.
Direct to acetate. Mm-hmm. No tape or digital files involved. Then Jack will hop in his car with the acetate, zip on over to United Record Pressing with the acetate to get 45 vinyls pressed up of that record right away. Sleeves for the 45 will have photos taken at the performance while he was singing it live. A few hours later, the singles will then be back and will be on sale back at Third Man and United. And they will have them available just in mere hours after the performance for you to buy.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why?
Excellent question.
How come? What's the reason?
No one knows.
The answer is that Jack White is in love with vinyl records and wants them to be appreciated. And he's trying to draw some attention to what's possible with them, I guess.
Why?
I think that's the most important question. And boy, this happy song.
Yeah.
This happy song. Of Pharrell Williams, this happy song. 6 weeks in a row now, it's been number one of the top 100. 6 weeks in a row. That's
not
nuts.
That's not bad.
Hey, how about the Beatles?
No, we're talking about Pharrell now. Today's celebrity birthdays, David E. Kelly's 58 years old today. Hugo Weaving is 54. David Cross, comedian and actor, is 50 years old. Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man, 49 years old. Barry Pepper is 44 years old today. David Blaine is 41. James Rodet of Psych is 38. Natasha Lyonne is 35. Austin Mahone turns 18. But the reason we celebrate today, bassist Magnus Svenningsson of the Cardigans, he is 42 years old today. And that always makes us think about that glorious interview that Kevin and Bean had with the Cardigans way back in the day.
I went to Norway, you know, and they had the IKEA. The IKEA was huge.
Was it huge? Can you please stop talking about Norway?
Nina, you've been here for 15 minutes. You're already tired of Norway?
Nina, this morning's interview with Kevin and Bean, would you say it was the most fun you've ever had?
No.
Yeah.
She was from Sweden, right?
That's true, yeah.
So Bean talking about Norway was not necessarily in her wheelhouse.
She might have had a point of saying, let's not talk about a country I'm not from so much.
Right. There are a lot of similarities between the two nations.
Okay. All right.
I've been to her part of the world. And as Kevin explained earlier, we'd already burned through all the questions hey, how's that Love Fool song? Right. So we were scraping.
So you got down on the list to IKEAs in Norway?
Look, yes. We were out of questions within a minute.
Yes.
Yeah, we were. So at that point, we were just juggling.
They were terrible. We were worse. It was not a great moment on the Kevin and Bean Show.
It was a perfect storm of bad.
A perfect storm of bad.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show, Biz Beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Have a great weekend, everybody. We will see you tomorrow night. Kevin and Bean's April Foolishness at the Shrine. We'll have a full recap for you on Monday morning.
Don't bogart the joints, my friend. Pass it over to me.
That's not brown rice.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Yeah. Morehead, Kentucky, hello.
Roll another one.
That's not what you want.
Just like the other one.
I suspect they were doing sex with each other.
This one seems to be about to quit.
Yeah, like that's a real thing.
I need another hit.
I was standing on a roof in Kenosha, Wisconsin, with some Indians who were insisting that piece of land belonged to them.
Why?
Roll another one.
Ticketmaster!
Just like the other one.
The poor guy can't help it. He's Mexican.
This one seems to be about.
You gotta keep positive, man.
I don't have another cent.
Isn't that wonderful? It's a mistake.
I'm off the set, you prick.
Just pass it around.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Do
not like it. Would make them dickheads.
I remembered, actually. No! No, it isn't! It's horrible!
Well, back to the drawing board.
Okay, that's it. Bye!
Do you want to take a bubble bath?
No, I actually think I'm going to go now.
Okay, I'll wear a swimsuit.
No, it's fine. Thank you. Thanks.
I'm going to go ahead, and I will meet you guys at the party. All right?
This is the CBS Radio Network.
I am beyond tired. What can I say? Anyway, I'm out of here.